Blog Talk Radio.
This is a journey into sound. This is a journey into sound. A journey which along the way will bring to you new color, new dimension, new value.
When all is ready, I throw this switch.
Pump up the volume, pump up the volume.
Pump that bass.
You make me feel so good.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Of a master plan. This ain't nothing but sweat inside my hands. So I dig into my pocket, all my money spent. So I get deeper, still coming up with lint. So I start my mission, leave my residence, thinking how could I get some dead presidents. I need money. I used to be a stick up kid, so I think of all the devious things I did. I used to roll up, this is a hole up. Ain't nothing funny, stop smiling, you still don't nothing move but the money. But now I learn to earn cause I'm righteous. I feel great, so maybe I might just search for a 9 to 5. If I thrive, then maybe I stay alive. So I walk up the street, whistling this, feeling out of place, cause man do I miss. A pen and a paper, a stereo, a taper. Me and Eric being a nice big plate of this, which is my favorite dish. But without no money, it's still a wish. Cause I don't like to dream about getting paid. So I dig into the books of the rhymes that I made. Soon as a test to see if I got pulled, hit the studio, cause I'm paid in full.
Pump up the volume.
Wait a minute, you better talk to my mother.
Yo, what happened to Pete?
Pete.
night, kids.
Nothing new about this story. Joe Banner was the one that set up the meeting with this guy, Sal. So, I've done a lot of things in life. Some that, if I could do again, I would do differently. But in this situation, I did what was right. I did what I was always raised in the values of a praying mother to do. And I did what I tell kids every day all over this country that they should do. And that is deal with getting guns and crime out of their community and cooperate with the law. If I was doing business for James Brown, I had no choice but to meet with guys who would later be alleged or earlier be alleged to be mobsters. It wasn't like I was saying, hey, I heard you was with the so-and-so family. Let's chill together. It wasn't like that. The conversations were recorded, and I would record them today if somebody threatened me. Rats are usually people that were with other rats. I was not and am not a rat because I wasn't with the rats. I'm a cat. I chase rats. And whether it's a rat in racial profiling or police brutality or mobsters exploiting black artists, don't get me confused.
Reverend Al, you's a goddamn lie. You not, you right. You not a rat. You damn right. You not a rat. You not a cat. You's a snatch. You's a motherfucking snitch. What's up, family? What's up? What's up? Oh, yeah. Y'all know it's going to be raw and uncut and off the chain tonight, tonight, tonight. Yeah, we ready to get it in. We ready to get it in. First of all, now, let me get this started here. This is Friday, y'all, April the 25th of 2014. And you most definitely in the God dang it house with Coach and Freedom Radio. Oh, man, we have an outstanding broadcast lineup for y'all tonight. Man, y'all know Coach of Freedom Radio, we had to do this one. One, it just had to come out. You know, we kind of take it back old school right here. Y'all know how Coach of Freedom, we were just really just, man, breaking it down, just going into it, exposing a lot of shit on people. And, man, it's time to do that shit again, y'all. We missed them days. So we got to come up out of it, y'all. We've been kind of sitting back on people, just trying to let them take it easy, just trying to stop putting the belt on so many people's asses. But you know what? A lot of people need their ass whooped again. So it's time for us to do this shit again, y'all. I know that's what kind of made us right here on Culture Freedom Radio, for taking that belt off with them spikes on it and whooping some ass. So it's time to whoop some more ass. So tonight, y'all, we're going to be doing it in the first hour. We got to whoop some ass in the first hour. Then in the second hour, y'all, we really got to talk on the issue that's really needed to be talked about. You know, it's very important. So within the first hour, we're going to be talking about, y'all, these fake black so-called leaders. Yeah, you heard it. The fake black leadership and the gay black agenda. Oh, yeah. See, I know a lot of people don't want to touch on that thing, talking about the gay agenda and whatnot. But, hey, after we get into some things tonight, and show you why this thing need to be talked about, because y'all know the picture's been floating all around on the internet, on Facebook and stuff, about all these rappers wearing dresses and shit. Well, we're going to play a clip tonight. It's going to let you see why this need to be talked about. When you have our children, because it is the whole big point about it. It's not to be bashing on the gay community, nobody who's gay. We ain't trying to do that. But here's what we're trying to do. Don't push your goddamn agenda on us, because we're not trying. You don't see nobody pushing a heterosexual agenda on you, because shit is part of nature like that. That we just, you know, men, some men, shit, you know, you're supposed to be naturally born attracted to a woman. A woman's supposed to be naturally attracted to a man. Opposite attract. Just say it like that. Fuck it. Opposite attract. Even in nature, you know. A male dog like a female dog. Y'all is in the animal kingdom. It's just like that. Opposite attract. But somebody has want to turn the chains off and played with nature and made same thing. Chinese say same thing. So we're gonna get into this tonight, y'all. I gotta get my brother in the house. We're gonna get into the y'all. But the first hour, like I said, we're gonna be getting into y'all fake black leadership, and the second hour we're going into the gay black agenda. So we got a lot of clips and stuff we gotta get into. We might have to hit it overtime tonight. Most definitely we will have to hit overtime. So hey, y'all, get ready, y'all. Y'all wanna comment, chime in, you can do so at 347-850-8030. Hey, y'all, don't take this shit personal, y'all. We just got to do what we have to do and put this shit out on the table. With that, y'all, I have to say, let me bring my brother Eric in the house, y'all, and let's get this thing going, y'all. Peace to you, brother. Peace to you.
Peace to you, black man, and peace to everybody listening. Yeah, this is just healthy conversation.
Yes, sir.
I mean, somebody got to do it because, in my opinion, first of all, this is a conscious radio show, black liberated radio show, dealing with current events, things happening in our community, right?
Yes, sir.
And they compare us to other black talk shows. They put us in that category, black history and Afrocentric knowledge and what have you. And that's cool. And everybody is always talking about the past and how we were this and we were that and how we did that. How we did this and how we did that. We built the pyramids. Well, and then we say something like, well, we need to galvanize and come together. But we never do.
Yes, sir.
You know, we divide it, right?
Man, like a mother.
We don't come together and try to achieve what we want. And that's done on purpose, too. And when you look at it, you see, if you're interested in your people and want to see your people do better, well, you're going to have to get political. You're going to have to, you know, snatch the panties off these Negroes. That's basically what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
If they ain't right, they ain't right, goddammit. I mean, it ain't no ain't nothing personal. People ain't right. Now, we all know the game of politics. That's a dirty pool right there from the get-go. But we got our charlatan black leaders who will sit up there and feed us a dream and a smoke screen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take Al Sharpton, for example. We don't ask ourselves. We really don't ask him as the collective group. Who is funding you, Al? Who is funding you, Jesse?
Mm-hmm.
You see? Our preachers, our prominent black preachers, who's funding y'all? Who's funding you, T.D. Jake? Who's funding you, Jeremiah Wright? Where are you getting your money from? Because I know you ain't getting it from us. The majority of us give twos and twos. Try to get some money together, some way to go protest or go march. Did they get that from us?
Because
first of all, you got to file for a permit. The police got to be out there. Your picket sign. And if you're going to rent a hall, you got to pay for that. You got to have insurance. You know what I'm saying? Just in case somebody get hurt.
Yes, sir.
Who paying for it? I ain't talking about no lightweight insurance either. You got your camera crew out there. You got your office. You got your secretaries. Who's paying their salary? Because they ain't working. They're just sitting around talking. So where is their damn money coming from? Somebody, you got something to fulfill on that?
Man, you're sure right, brother. Like I said, we have to just go ahead. Hey, my mic working clear, Eric. But Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to try this Skype right now. Yeah. Like I said, brother, everybody, outstanding point. Who's funding these people? See, that is the main important thing that we need to be thinking about. Who's funding these people? Because you think about it. When you figure out who's bagging a person, that's the person they're going to run with. That's the person. You're not going to step on that person's toes. You'd be crazy as hell if you step on their toes. If I'm giving you the money, you know what I'm saying, to do what you do to help your organization, I'd be the last one you step on toes. I'm going to be the last person you want to cross. So, and that too, even with dealing with sponsorships and somebody sponsoring you, you know they're not going to just, sometimes they're going to like, hey, you can't, hey, brother, I don't mean to mean any harm, but, hey, I got my money tied into you, man. I got my people listening to you and shit. Hey, man, you can't be talking all that Black Power shit like that, Culture Freedom Radio. Hey, man, can y'all tone it down a little bit? We know what y'all was into at first, but we don't want to offend our people where we getting our money. Can y'all tone that white man, that devil stuff down and all that down? Can y'all tone that down? Yeah, see, that type of shit. So look at Al Sharpton. What the hell his name is this goddamn thing anyway? His organization, National Action Network. And now he claimed to be, and I'm going to get on his ass tonight. You know, we got a lot of them, though. But Al Sharpton, you know, National Action Network. So what is his actions like? Because one of the things, his organization, the second part of his organization is called Action Network. We got to take a look at his actions. Y'all know the old saying, actions speak louder than words. So we look at his actions, and we got to wonder. He's supposed to be a civil rights leader. He's supposed to be the so-called spokesman for the so-called Black community. Let's wonder, ask yourself, what the fuck have he done for the Black community? At all, what have he actually done for us? Nothing. He ain't did shit. And I agree. Y'all know the anchor, the news anchorman for CNN, Don Lyman, he made an outstanding point. There was an article came out. Y'all can go to, I'm going to be using a couple of articles from yourblackworld.net, and just go in there and type in Al Sharpton in the search engine on there, and you'll see a lot of articles dealing with Al Sharpton. But they did an interview with Don Lyman on a show. What was it? What's the name of the show? It was a radio broadcast, a television broadcast, and it was by White Ringer. Her name was Laura Ingram, and she asked about Al Sharpton, asked Don Lyman about Al Sharpton, and this is what Don Lyman said. He said, "I don't see Al Sharpton as a leader on any level." Lyman even feels offended by the notion that people would think that an African American should follow the same person, that an African American should follow the same person. He said he felt offended about that. He says he don't see Al Sharpton as a leader on no front, not as a Boy Scout leader, Girl Scout leader, none of that shit. He don't see him as leading a motherfucker even to the welfare line. He don't see them as no kind of leader. So you know he's saying that. And all of them basically, well, we're going to get back to the Boule, take y'all to that. If that Boule Negro himself is saying that about another Boule Negro, y'all know goddamn well we shouldn't be looking at this cat as no kind of leader who's leading us. But we got to get back to the money trail, the paper trail. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Who's funding these guys? Who's actually funding them? Where are their money coming from? Why are they able to do what they do and speak what they speak? Because like I said, Brother Eric, we know we ain't funding these guys. We know we're not giving them a goddamn thing. I don't see no collection plate coming around support Al Sharpton's National Action Network. I don't see no plate coming around. I don't even see nobody in the community saying they represent his organization or Rainbow Push Coalition in our neighborhood. That Rainbow Push, too. Let me speak on that right fast and throw it back to Brother Eric. When they talking about Rainbow Push Coalition, think about it. Now, they're supposed to be civil rights leaders. Now, you would think about Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King during the Civil Rights era. But we mostly saw a lot of so-called black people, the Negroes of colors at the time that they was calling us. We were out protesting, trying to get freedom, justice, and equality. So we would think the NAACP or the Civil Rights era was all about black people trying to get their justice and freedom. But and so Jesse Jackson said he's a civil rights leader. So you think about his organization. It's called Rainbow Push Coalition. Rainbow Push Coalition. Now, the rainbow, it might represent the gay community because, hey, they use the rainbow on there also as they symbol to represent their community. But he said it represent all ethnicities or ethnic groups of people. So how is he so-called our black leader if his organization talk about it represents everybody? So think about it. If his organization, Rainbow Push Coalition, and has the color spectrum in it, which is standing for represent all racial groups, how is he our so-called black leader? And think about it. If he's supposed to be for standing for everybody with the Rainbow Push Coalition, that means he can't step on no Asian toes. He can't step on no white folk toes. He can't step on no Mexican toes to try to represent us as a black people, because that would be contradicting what he said his organization stand for. So now when we realize these type of things, now we got to realize why these Negroes don't speak out solely and purposely only for the black community, because they can't, because they don't only work for you. They work for every other ethnic group around you. Think about their organization. Look closely at their organizations and what the name of their organizations and what they're founded on and what they actually stand for. Just because they tell you that they are civil rights leaders, because we got that in our goddamn head that the civil rights only are standing for so-called black people, African people, or whatever we want to be named here in this damn country. We think that. So as soon as they say civil rights, you think black movement, black power movement. That's basically what the fuck we think. And we think these crazy-ass Negroes, they say, they are civil rights leaders. We think that they are standing up for all black people. See, that's why they're even trying to put, y'all check the history now, they are calling even people like Malcolm X, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, they're trying to put them in that box, too, as civil rights leaders with these crazy-ass Negroes. But we got to check the scheme. I'm going to let my brother Eric get in, and then we're going to get into this paper trail on this thing, too. Where they getting their money from to do what they do? Yes, sir. Go ahead, Brother Eric. Okay, Brother Eric wants that. Brother Eric. Okay, he must got his mic muted for a second. Okay, well, he'll come back in. Let me see. Let me find something right here. Another one thing on Brother Al Sharpton.
Okay, I'm back. I'm back.
Okay, okay. Go ahead, brother. Okay, no problem.
Yeah. Damn. Lost my train of thought. Al Sharpton, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my train of thought. Here we go. He's always put himself in the opportunity to represent some case that's been picked up by the media.
Mm-hmm.
Like a folly, throwing a monkey wrench in the whole program. He's not a lawyer.
Hmm.
I'm doing research right now while we're talking. He's not a lawyer, but he'll sit up there and get on TV with or without the people's permission and talk about the goddamn case. You know what I'm saying? Just exposing all our shit and the case still going on. You ever tripped off that shit, bro?
Yes, sir.
You're not supposed to discuss that shit like that. People just let him do it. We just let him do it. Who else does that? Think over that. He ain't no lawyer. He up there representing. What's the dude with the Skittles?
Trayvon Martin.
Trayvon Martin. Up there discussing his case while his case going and shit. And I'm doing some research right now, and I'm like, okay, who has Al Sharpton helped or got out of prison, or has any luck come from this motherfucker representing people on with marches and shit? Okay, remember Tawana Brawley? Remember that shit? Yes,
most definitely.
And I'm trying to research, and I can't find one motherfucker that won their case fucking with him. Somebody tell me if I'm tripping, because I'm trying to, I'm like thinking about that shit. I'm like, okay, he spoke out on Rodney King, he spoke out on this, he spoke out on that. All these motherfuckers' cases be fucked up.
Yes, sir.
What did I say? I want, excuse me, man. I want you to do your work, bro. All right? Don't come with me with that. And then I was reading this article. I'm sorry, y'all. I was reading this article, and I'm saying, like, you laughing at me, bro. You got to be a father and
yes,
a host and a husband and everything.
That's right. That's it.
Okay. I was reading this article. It's saying around 2 a.m. on a weekday morning, a 19-year-old black male with a criminal history of fair repute was caught mugging an old black woman in a Manhattan subway terminal. The mugger rigorously resisted arrest, pulling a gun on the officer. The cop managed to subdue the mugger and got him facing the wall with the cop's gun trained on him from behind. At this point, the cop misfired and blew the mugger's brains out, killing him. So Al Sharpton gets a call soon after this shit. So Al Sharpton, 2 o'clock in the morning, immediately got his team together, got in his town car, and started called, and he drove to Manhattan. He was living in New Jersey, Fort Lee, New Jersey. So he on the road 2 a.m. in the morning with his clique going to Manhattan and calling all the newspapers and telling them about this shit. You know what I'm saying? So they could post it on the news and shit. They said halfway to that motherfucker, they got a call from the police at the scene, and Al Sharpton's car turned back around and went back to the crib.
Damn. Motherfucking hell.
Went back to the house, bro. Yes, sir. Shiesty motherfucker.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? Kiss ass. You know what I'm saying? Am I mad at him? Nah, I ain't. Well, yeah, no, because shit, motherfuckers allow him to do this shit.
Yes, sir.
I mean, if we just get rid of Al Sharpton, another motherfucker with some game will come up and do that shit too. So. Hey, man, it is what it is. What I hate the most is that black people have too much faith in these motherfuckers, and they don't even do their research.
Yep.
A lot of times when I go to, like, alternative news and stuff, I'll be seeing them. White people responding to this shit. And they be like, damn. Black people just don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Black people just don't know.
So are these motherfuckers retarded or something?
They don't say it like I said it, but you know what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
You'll get that understanding based on their comments. That you just don't, because we... We don't read as a people collectively. You know what I'm saying? We don't read. That's another thing I like about this show. It makes me read more. Because we got to do research on this shit. You know what I'm saying? Invalidate this shit. So yeah, Al, he ain't no good. Jesse, he ain't no good. Jesse's supposed to be a reverend. This nigga majored in sociology. How the fuck he become a reverend? He didn't even go to school for that. But you wouldn't know that if you didn't look that shit up. You know what I'm saying? So these motherfuckers is, you know what I'm saying? He was into sports and shit. Nothing with religion. Oh, I take that back. Later on, he joined. When he joined the Congress of Racial Equality and participated in marches and sit-ins. After graduation, he began studies at the Chicago Theological Seminary. And then he worked to support for Martin Luther King Jr. So that was that. I'm still right, shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Fucking with Martin Luther King, he wanted that power. So he said, fuck it, I'm going to do this. He ain't got no church. He don't never do no sermons and shit. How the fuck you a reverend? You don't do no sermon. Where's your church? Where's your DVDs? Where's your books like T.D. Jakes and shit? Where's your movies? You ain't no preacher. You're a pimp.
Same thing.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. I'll be goddamn. Shit.
And
what do they increase your pocketbook? So what is he doing for you? Has Jesse created some jobs in your community? Has Al Sharpton created some jobs in your community?
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just asking. Has Farrakhan created some jobs in your community?
Uh-oh.
Oh, my bad. They got the final call.
Uh-oh.
That's their job. My bad. But I'm just saying, man, you can't live like that, bruh, and expect to look up to somebody. He ain't doing shit for you. He doing for you like Obama doing for you, which is nothing. Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, why do we love the devil so much? Because he gives you nothing. He's a bitch. Hmm? And what Dr. York say is black devils too.
Uh-oh.
Ain't that a bitch?
Uh-oh.
Ain't that a bitch? So now you got to assess what you dealing with. You're dealing with a system. And people are playing roles in the system. They got your color struck. Just because he's black, he's supposed to do something for me. No, he's in a system. every culture and every race of people have to have a representative, whether they agree with them or not. You have your agreeables and disagreeables, but every culture has at least five doing the same shit that our leaders doing. Same shit. Look at Alex Jones, the leader for the middle class struggling white folks, and them southern folks. You know what I'm saying? They liked his motherfucking ass. He running game on them. Glenn Beck, running game. Everybody got their, you know, white people got their shit. We got our shit. And on down the line. Chinese got their shit. Mexicans got their shit. Jews got their shit. Because it's a system. It's a chessboard. And study knowledge and study knowledge well. What do I say? But somewhere you got me on a tangent, bro.
Yes, sir. We got to bring it to you.
It feels so goddamn good to be back on Blog Talk.
Fuck is this?
Yes, indeed. But Jesse, all of them, man. They're shady. But who ain't shady at the top? Name me one motherfucker who ain't shady. I mean, even if they make a lightweight little money and they're at the so-called top, they're shady. All across the board. Just shady motherfuckers. Deception. Look at Jay-Z. Acting like he would throwing up Freemasonry signs, people saying he in the Illuminati. Then, boom. He wear a 5%er chain. The fuck? What'd you do that for? He did it for a reason. To get a rise out you. To get a rise out you. But yeah, these people that are put before us are just doing their job, basically. They're doing their job. Do they do things that they don't want to do? Yeah. Some of them have a conscience, some of them don't have a conscience. Some of them have done it so many times until it don't even faze them. You know what I'm saying? That's why you don't see them in your neighborhood. Because it's a reflection of what they've been doing to you, and they don't want to see it. That's why you don't see them in your hood. You ever seen Al Sharpton in the hood? You ever seen Jesse in the hood? No, they don't go to the hood. They don't be on TV in the hood. They be downtown, you know. They'll be Capitol or wherever they at. They ain't in the hood. I want to see how I'm fucking these niggas up, man. Am I lying?
No, sir.
That's my say on that shit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And and with that, what we're talking about, these leaders, we gotta take it back to the Boule. We gotta reiterate, take y'all mind back, and get back into the Boule. Let y'all see. Well, let me throw this in here too. First, let me go back to Al Sharpton. He came out on Easter. I ain't gonna stay long on his punk ass, but he came out right on the Easter weekend, right? And he made a statement. It says here's an article coming from yourblackworld.net, yourblackworld.net, and it's entitled "Al Sharpton Compares President Barack Obama's Struggles to the Crucifixion of Jesus." This is what the article says. It says, this past Easter, Sharpton spoke on Tom Joyner Morning Show and compared the struggles of President Barack Obama to the crucifixion of Jesus. He specifically stated that he is not comparing Obama to Jesus, but did say that the criticism that Barack Obama has received showed that every crucifixion, there is a resurrection, referring to Barack Obama. So that was one thing that Al Sharpton, stupid ass shit, he came out and said just past Easter weekend. And then there was an article came out on the, let me see, what's this here? Let me go back and we got to find where the fuck it was. I think New York Daily News. And there was an article that talked about Mayor Bloomberg. Now we're going to talk about it once again because we asked this question, who's funding your leaders? Who's funding these so-called black leaders? And that was the thing that came out, talked about in an article. Y'all can go back to NewYorkDailyNews.com and look up an article called Al Sharpton Quiet About Mayor Bloomberg's Changing Term Limits. And it said that actually Al Sharpton was, you know, he was in opposition with Mayor Bloomberg right before he tried to, you know, when Mayor Bloomberg was in office, he tried to change the term limits of a mayor being in office. Instead of like having two terms like a president or something, he wanted to set it at unlimited terms where you basically damn near die out the motherfucking position, basically. That's what he tried to do. But him and Al Sharpton was in opposition for that, opposition on that. But even though they were working with each other, they was always at odds with each other, supposedly, but they were always working hand in hand with each other at the same time, because it was saying here in this thing here, after Mayor Bloomberg changed his mind, it says the National Action Network, which is a foundation that is headed by Al Sharpton, got a $110,000 grant from a brand new nonprofit organization that was funded by Bloomberg. I said, in fact, on the very day that Bloomberg announced he wanted to run again, the first $50,000 of the grant was transferred to the National Action Network bank account. Who do you work for, Al? That is one article just talking about that, and I had some more. What the fuck I did with him? But there was some more that about Al. Y'all know about him being the thing about him being an FBI informant, but there was another article I had where I can't find what the fuck I did with it now. But it was talking about how these other organizations, I got to find it, y'all, how he's getting funded by all these different organizations, like, what was it, Pfizer. He was getting funded by them. Let me find the private files while I'm talking. I should have had this shit off top. By Pfizer. And brother, what was the name of some of the other organizations he was getting funded by? I got to find this shit right fast. I had this on bitch up in front of me. Give me 1 second, family. But yeah, like I said, when you follow the paper trail and just really see, because his thing is called Action Network. Okay, here we go. We're getting it here. He's actually funded also by, here we go, Anheuser-Busch gave Al Sharpton six figures, y'all. He's funded by Colgate, Palmolive. It said Colgate and Palmolive shoved out $50,000, and Macy's and Pfizer have contributed thousands to Reverend Al Sharpton's charity. Almost 50 companies, y'all. Y'all hear me? 50 companies have contributed to Al Sharpton's different charities, including Pepsi Cola, General Motors, Walmart, Federal Express, Continental Airlines, Johnson & Johnson, and Chase. This motherfucker's in deep with the enemy, y'all. And y'all wonder why we can't get shit? Y'all wonder why ain't shit happening with the black community when y'all call these motherfuckers in and we talking about how police brutality, you talk about how our black people been, our children are getting killed on the street. Like Brother Eric brought up earlier about the Trayvon Martin case, how he went down there and you see nothing happened. You see the so-called George Zimmerman walked off. He got out. Y'all see why? Look who he's funded by, man. It's right here. What, let me see. It's right there. I'm going to share the article in the chat room, too. But just go and type up. I'll tell y'all what y'all do. Go in your search engine. Go into Google. Go into Google spy search engine and type in, who's funding Al Sharpton? And y'all will be amazed by the different articles and things that will pop up. Who's funding Al Sharpton? And check out article number one when you get to it, when you're typing that in. Who's funding Al Sharpton? And you will see it. So when we're speaking about that, it's amazing. And even Honda, Chrysler, let me see, hell, I named Pfizer, Anheuser-Busch. And y'all wonder. Y'all wonder. See, you can't trust the old school motherfucker still with a perm in his head. Because what he look like? It's the image of a pimp. Got that pimp look on, that player. He's a player. Y'all know it. But there's some things with Al Sharpton. But let me jump into this right here. And we got to remember now, we talked about some time ago, we were dropping this about the Boule, which we don't hear nobody talking about no more. The Boule. Who is the Boule? I don't believe in the Boule. Well, I tell y'all what, you better believe it. Because y'all know that the teachers of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, which I know y'all don't want to hear those names, so y'all hate hearing the old school names, but there's some things that's in that teaching that y'all can look at. Now, he talked about, and I say this shit all the time on the show, the 85%, the 10%, and the 5%. Now, the Boule, y'all know they call this group called the Boule, which is a fraternal organization. It's the Sigma Phi Pi organization. I was thinking, what was it started in 1904, which it was started, and they're located on many black colleges and things of this nature. But anyway, they are basically our so-called elitists, elitist blacks in this organization or fraternity called the Boule. And they are what they call your 10% that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad talked about. And he talked about they are the shit, basically the bloodsuckers of the poor. They are there to keep you disenfranchised. That's what they're there for. And check this out, the Boule. And actually, word, y'all look up the word Boule, which is a Greek term, and it actually means advisor to the king. Boule, look it up. Boule, B-O-U-L-E, Boule, look it up. And it will say advisor to the king. Now, if that mean that the Boule mean advisor to the king, here's a question. Who is the king? Who is the king that they are advising? Think about it. Now, and like I said, and that the whole thing is to keep other blacks or so-called blacks disenfranchised. That's their goal. Don't believe me? Look it up for yourself and you will see it. And think about it. Here's some names. We're going to go into this. It says the Boule and those people that's inside of the Boule, it says their job is to spread or do nothing about violence in the black community. Well, we know Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson are number one on that list because they ain't did shit about that. They are paid great sums of money to keep quiet about black social issues. We just heard about who funding Al Sharpton and all that money he's getting. So that's on point. This is an article I'm also reading too, y'all family. It's called Future Producers. It's like Future Producers. Y'all look it up. It's called BET is part of the Black Boule. We know that shit. Black Exploited Television. But here's some names, y'all, that goes into this. It says joining the group provides many advantages like professional job offers, fame, fortune, and powerful executive positions throughout the world. Now check these names out and see that they serve true. It says many such members of the Boule are Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Denzel Washington. Oh, yeah, sisters, I know y'all hate to hear that shit. Denzel Washington, Oprah Winfrey, Jay-Z, Halle Berry, Bill Cosby, Samuel Jackson, the man, Mr. Motherfucker, Samuel Jackson, Nas, Young Jeezy. And this says, y'all know, it says, y'all wonder why Jay-Z called himself Hova and even has the nerve let me see, to call one of his albums Kingdom Come. That's what he was talking about. And now he got his little protege, Kanye West, since he's called himself Jehovah or Hova. He's God. He got his little protege, what's the full name, Kanye West, calling himself Yeezy. Another way of saying he's Jesus. So y'all already know how that shit go. You got God the Father, then you got his son, you know, Kanye West. Y'all know how that shit go. But anyway, these Boulay members, man, with, see, they're controlling everything that we're seeing. That's what they're there. That's why they got all the fame. That's why nothing that these people talk about and they say in their organization, that's why things are still the same in our community. Like I said, all of these things that go on, like I said, look at the brother that was last killed in Jasper, Texas. Have we heard anything else about that case? We ain't heard shit else about that case. We don't know what happened. I can't remember if anybody ever got arrested for that thing. I don't know what happened. You know, the brother with his eyes, throat cut, eyes cut out, and I think with his ears cut off, and they found it outside the road. I ain't heard shit else about it. Now, since Al, I'm supposed to be spokesperson for every goddamn body, why are they still hollering out and screaming bloody murder for these cases? Somebody shut their ass up. What, he got another $100,000 grant from somebody? He saw all his action. He called it National Action Network. So where's his actions at? Where's the actions in the community where he's reaching out and getting some things done? Don't see it nowhere. Don't see shit that he's doing. He's just granting money. And I know that he came here into Memphis one time. They had about a year ago or so. And they was fighting for a statue, Confederate statue here, called Nathan Bedford Forrest statue, Confederate general that was here out of Arkansas. And they wanted to take it down out of a park. Al Sharpton came down here. He did his famous old speech and shit, like he really was going to get some shit done. And he actually got paid. Every time he goes somewhere, y'all, it's a check going to be cut. Oh, it's going to be a check cut when that motherfucker come to your town. You best to believe it. He's not coming there just to talk. That motherfucker, well, he going to talk, but he going to get paid for running his mouth and ain't going to say shit. He going to throw them pom-poms in the air and all of that old good shit, but he's not going to do. There's not going to be changes done. See, that's the thing. We got to start looking at these people. Sister said just recently she read the FBI article. Yeah, appreciate it, sister. That's the thing we need to start looking at. Like I said, and I'm going to keep on stressing this. His thing is called National Action Network. Start paying attention to these people's actions, man. Their actions is what tells off about them. It's like, if I do something wrong, if some person like Brother Eric and myself, we do something wrong. We just some brothers. We brothers on here on Blog Talk Radio. Soon as y'all see us or heard about what we doing something wrong, somebody going to do some YouTube clips or they going to post some shit on Facebook. Yeah, I heard they was doing this. They going to do that. You know, and they on Blog Talk talking all this, you know, this powerful shit, but they over here doing this, they doing that. But see, we don't say shit about these dudes when they fuck up. Now, here he come talking about he was an FBI informant. You know what I'm saying? He been snitching on people. And there's also another article. Y'all can check it out on yourblackworld.net. Let me try to get to it. Where it was talking about how, oh, man, Al Sharpton, he's been working in close association with the GOP, the Republican Party, y'all. The Republican Party, y'all. Yeah, he was working hand-in-hand with George Bush and the boys back in the days when Al Gore was so-called running for president against George Bush. Oh, yeah. Y'all remember Al Sharpton, them had his ass in there. He was trying to take some of the votes so Al Gore couldn't get in, which I don't give a goddamn what president get in the office. They're not going to do shit for us. It always going to be some shit anyway. They're going to disenfranchise us anyway, so it don't really matter what food get in the White House, black, white, turquoise, yellow, green. It don't make no goddamn difference. They never worked for your black ass in the first place. But I digress on that one. Brother Al Sharpton, y'all, he's been talking about he's been doing the Ronald Reagan administration. He was working with the Republican Party. This man don't give a fuck who he worked with. He worked with anybody to get some money. He worked with anybody. You know, so that's with him. And let me see. He's also been known, y'all, said to, back in the days, had been spying. Check this one. Spying on other black activists. Y'all didn't know that? He was also known to have been spying on other black activists. Anybody else had been trying to do something in their community, Brother Al, I don't know if I can call him brother, but fuck it. Brother Al was snitching on their asses. Yeah, remember, he's an FBI informant now. He see you trying to do any improvement in your neighborhood, they snitch on your ass. Let me give y'all one prime example. Now, this Brother Sunray throwing this out. It's just Brother Sunray mind when I'm throwing this out. We know a brother who is in prison right to this very day, 135 years. Some people are going to say, well, he did what he did. But check this out. Go search the internet and search for some pictures of Al Sharpton and Dr. York, Dr. Malachi Z. York together. Search those pictures out on Google. Al Sharpton and Dr. Malachi Z. York. And also search the pictures with Jesse Jackson and Dr. Malachi Z. York together. Y'all will see them on the land. It was Tamaray that was out in Edenton, Georgia. There was a time when I actually have some pictures. I even have the brochures where they were down there. Well, Al Sharpton was down there on one occasion wearing his fez. Yeah, wearing the fez down there with Dr. York. And you also had Al. Now, that was Al Sharpton. I mean, Reverend Jesse Jackson never had the fez on, my bad, with the unk on it. Yeah, he had the unk on the fez. Check it out. Look those pictures up. Al Sharpton just had the perm on and shit, and I think he had the preacher car like that, if I'm not mistaken. But they were down there with Dr. York. Now, knowing, see here, they were known as FBI informants. So let me ask y'all this question. I'm just throwing this out there. I don't have no evidence on this, but hey, since he already coming out saying he was FBI informant, check this one. Did they have anything to do with Dr. York getting incarcerated and getting 135 years, did they turn informant some kind of way to get him taken down? Because look at it. Here's a person we talked about getting back to your culture, doing for self, doing all of these things. You know, because a lot of people, you couldn't go to Egypt, so we bring Egypt to you. This is what Dr. York them did. Now think about it. Did they go hand in hand, work to bring down this brother? I'm just throwing something out there. Because now there's pictures circulating where they were down there with them. Because y'all know anybody that affiliate with them guys and they trying to do something for their community, their ass is out of here. Think about it. Martin Luther King, Jesse Jackson. Go on YouTube and look up the Jesse Kill Martin. Look it up. Brother Steve Coakley did an outstanding job with that. And him and Dick Gregory. I got to put the brother Elder Dick Gregory in there. The Jesse Kill Martin. Look at that documentary. And also, since I said Steve Coakley went out and did that documentary with that, y'all think about it. The Trayvon Martin case. The Trayvon Martin case. Around that same time in that area when Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton went down there, first went out and started speaking out publicly against the Trayvon Martin thing. And now y'all got to remember now, Steve Coakley spoke and brought this out, talking about them guys. He put their ass out there. He exposed them. What happened with him? He died. The same day, look it up. The same day George Zimmerman got so-called indicted on second-degree murder, Steve Coakley made his transition that day. And those two guys were involved in that Trayvon Martin case. The same two guys that Steve Coakley spoke out against and talked about how they were fake leaders, and then one of them was involved in Martin Luther King murder. Now, I might just be throwing out some goddamn conspiracies, but y'all do y'all fucking math. Y'all look at it. Y'all always talking about some goddamn metaphysics and all of this shit. Do your metaphysics. Do your numerology. Look it up for yourself. I'm just saying. I'm just putting the shit out. Like we say, Culture Freedom Radio, we ain't teaching you a goddamn thing. Only thing we do is here to motivate and inspire you. Think about it. Look the shit up for yourself. Don't be like we ain't no preachers. We'll tell you sit your ass back and take what we say to heart. We ain't doing that. This ain't no motherfucking kook bar. This ain't no Sunday sermon. Look it up. We give you in the verse, the chapter, and telling your ass to look it up. Don't go home and sit there with your Bible in your hand. Don't look the verse up because I might be lying. I just might be lying. So go ahead, look that shit up for yourself. All right, well, there, y'all. Let me get my brother Eric back in here.
Yes, sir. On the cool, though, bro. On Al Sharpton. He said he got that operation. I mean, not no, he did a diet thing and did weight. That brother got that operation, bro.
And
he looked like he on that shit. Look at him good, bro. He looked like he on that shit, bro.
Yeah, you right.
I ain't bullshitting, huh?
Yeah, he don't disappear. That motherfucker about...
He look like a coke fiend, bro. Look at his face next time.
Yeah, he look bad, bro.
Now look at his body structure. I mean, he's lost like a pin needle now. Man, that motherfucker on that shit, bro.
White folk killing his punk ass.
Yeah. He on that shit. You gotta be, bro. You gotta be. Escaping from the reality of that shit that you're doing to people. You're lying to your own fucking people. Hell yeah, you're gonna be high as a motherfucker.
Yes, sir.
Because your conscience fucking with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you get high in the first place, because your mind, you're trying to escape thoughts in your brain and shit. You wanna be free.
Hmm.
Too much confusion in the brain. I want to be free. I need a drink. I need a joint. I want to be free. I need some coke. I want to be free. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a poor man's high and a rich man's high. Is that right?
Yes, yeah.
So, there you go.
Man, yes, sir.
So, we got some quips, bro. We can't forget
that. I said, yes, sir. We can jump into this the next hour. We're going to get into, like, that's enough of them goddamn old crazy. Because we really got to touch on this article. We got some, the second part, y'all. We got some fire clips. We got to get in here. So, yeah, brother, you want to crank it up on this next hour? Let me see. I got to play this here, brother, to get this from here started. Let me see here.
All right.
I know you got this
clip. All right, I'm going to mute myself.
All right, we're going to just intro. All right, y'all, that was another about the black leadership, the fake black leadership, which I know a lot of y'all already know about them fake black-ass leaders anyway. But just do y'all homework on them guys, man. Just start watching their actions and start asking the questions. Who are they? Who funding them on this shit? Who funding them? Now, here's the point. We got to get ready to get into the gay black agenda. What do we mean, gay black agenda? Like I said, we've been looking over the internet. Y'all know y'all been looking on Facebook and looking out, and y'all have been seeing a lot of these guys who they've been showing wearing dresses. What's up with these rappers wearing these goddamn dresses? What's the deal with that? I don't know. I don't know. Some trying to be slick, like Mos Def, and say it's part of this African culture and all of this stuff. I don't know about that shit there. I don't think so. But it looked like sometime they wearing a couch. That's why they're trying to be slick with that, like they're wearing the couch. But we see, like, dances that's coming out now. Rappers wearing the dresses. Well, even Samuel L. Jackson, which I read an article where it says that he was actually a part of the Boule also. Go and check it out. He's a part of the Boule. He's a part of that disenfranchised of the black community and that mind-controlling agency of the black community also. Samuel, I know y'all don't want to believe it, but they got a new dance out called the Nay-Nay. I know y'all heard about that shit, the Nay-Nay. Look that up. Like some gay rappers. And actually, we ain't beating up on no gay folk. You know, you're gay and all that. I ain't beating up on them. But I'm talking about an agenda that's been pushed on us and something that's affecting our children. And when we get into some clips, let me play this first thing with Birdman. Y'all, it's only a minute clip. I want y'all to listen to this one because we're going to get into this thing about the gay black agenda. And I'm going to play two clips back to back first. I'm going to play Birdman. And I'm going to show y'all the importance of why we need to be having topics like this. And I know sometimes the gay community might speak out against it, but hey, fuck what you want to speak out against. I'm just saying it's an agenda. You be what you want to be. Be the best at what the fuck you're going to be. But here it is. Don't push your shit on me. I won't push my shit on you. Straight out. Here's Birdman. Y'all listen closely to this one. And then I'm going to play a clip with some teenagers. Now, I'm going to have to give y'all this. I'm going to tell y'all the name right after I play it. But here's Birdman. Listen closely.
Real stupid.
I need a project, bitch. A hood rat, bitch. One that don't give a fuck and say she took that bitch.
Motherfucker throwing clothes up in and shit.
Yeah, Mr. Security. Look, I'm going to show you what type nigga I am, right? These niggas right here been fucking with me all night.
Let
I want y'all to come
here.
Up here and fuck with me.
Come
right
on, let them niggas
y'all
up
y'all three,
here.
Y'all four, right? Yeah, all y'all come up here and fuck with a nigga. It's cool like that. You heard me?
What's
look,
up?
Trevor,
what's up?
What's wrong with her?
Come on, you want to come up here?
Fuck that. What
you
want to
come up here?
That,
you going to shake it?
Look.
Come on, get out right here. Duck A, get on right there.
It's cool. I can take two of y'all.
Get on right there.
You and you. Come on, let them come up
y'all
here.
Y'all bullshit.
Black. Get them up here. They've been bucking with a
look
nigga all
rat.
Night. I fuck with niggas
bitch.
Too. I fuck
poor
with niggas
bitch.
Too. I fuck
poor
with niggas
bitch.
Too.
Don't fuck with me.
All right. That was Birdman. Y'all heard that shit? Birdman. That's when the old clip with Cash Money clicked. They was at a concert. And all the rest of them, Juvenile, BG, all of them were calling women on stage. Birdman was over in a corner calling guys on stage. It was four guys he was pointing to, calling them, bring them on the stage. They've been messing with me all night. That's when he said, I mess with niggas too. Y'all heard that shit? I mess with niggas too. That's Birdman. Y'all wonder why Lil Wayne so fucked up wearing tights like he doing. That was that. Y'all go and check that clip out on YouTube. Also, just type in, is Birdman gay? Is Birdman gay? Be the first clips you see on there. Is Birdman gay? Now, here's another one. We're going to play this right here. This is real important. Y'all listen to these, bro. These are teenage boys. Y'all can find this clip on YouTube also. It's called Gay Teenagers Rapping About Sex with Other Boys. Gay teenagers rapping about sex with other boys. Now, and if you're in the chat room, I'm going to put all these links in there. These little boys on this YouTube video that were rapping, they look probably about in the age from anywhere from 11 to 13. Now, this is real hardening for a man, being a man, seeing young boys, young brothers doing this shit what they saying. Listen to this clip, y'all.
We're about to go down line.
Wait a minute, hold on. Let me say this too. And sorry to our elders and everybody and the sisters. It's some offenses that we play some things that might be hardcore, but y'all have to hear this. Now, here we go with the clip.
We're about to go down line. Then I'm going to say my chorus. Running through all the dicks like forests. I hate niggas. That's not true. They ask me what block I live on. I sit on your dick between your balls. Okay, I said I'm stuck in your dick, your balls in my face like Kobe. Little nigga, I be stuck in your dick, y'all don't even know me.
I said I'm sucking on your dick. In prison, I'm the warden. You already know my legs open faster than Jordan. Sucking on the dick fast, I never do it slow. Everybody know because my job is to blow and my blows is to job. Like I'm sucking on your knob and I'm sucking on your cock. It's like corn on the cob.
Can you hold the camera?
I said, look.
Listen.
Ooh.
It's keep puffing. And my neck shit crazy. I suck your dick and I really call KD. But lately, I've been sucking dick and y'all want to smell? But fuck it, though. I'ma really let that smell.
Nah, look. My man set it up for dinner.
I said I'm sucking on 2-4s cause you can call me Kobe. Sucking the no hair on my head like Ginobili cause I'm wailing on your dick, man. Something like Moby.
Let
me speak to you cause I open them doors. Nigga dick mad long, like an extension cord.
Ooh.
It's over, y'all.
Hey, look.
You see me? Now you don't see me, because when I go down, y'all don't want to see me, because I shoot like black up and I scope like TV.
Black, nigga. And look, Drake boy. Started from the dick, now I'm here.
Starting on the dick, now I'm sucking on your poop again. Started from the dick, now I'm here. Started from the dick, now I'm sucking on your poop again. No little dicks, nigga, we don't feel that. All I'm gonna suck is dick, if this shit's fat. Little dicks don't get me excited. If this shit's fat, I'ma bite it.
No little dicks, nigga, will feel like
I suck a fat dick, then I grab his nutsack.
Ah!
Yo, Addis, y'all. Addis, y'all. Open down your chin, nigga. I mean, that hard throw. You already know.
Cameraman, ain't that shooter?
Yo. Hey, Sam,
Sam, you heard? I mean, I see Brian Kurt.
Cameraman, ain't that shooter? You know I do my work.
All right, family. All right, all right, all right. That clip is called Gay Teenage. Gay teenagers rapping about sex. If you're in the chat room, I'll put that in there. And I'll also put the bird, man. Y'all heard that? Man, when you see the video and you see these young brothers, man, rapping about this. I mean, it's when I seen it, I really didn't know what the hell to say. I was shocked. I just couldn't believe it. I said, man, somebody playing this shit here, man. It can't be. I was shocked. And then it hurt at the same time. You know, I don't know these guys, but that's, you know, I think about it, man. It's my little brother. It's our brother, man. This is supposed to be our future right here. And y'all hear how they talking about a middle man penis as long as an extension cord and how they suck. They don't know a damn thing about sex, man. They don't even really fucking know nothing about sex yet. And you hear what they doing? And listen to the song that they were singing. That is why I said I don't mess with these damn punk-ass new rappers. I like hip-hop, but I listen to old school. I don't mess with this new bullshit out here on the radio. And I'm sorry, y'all, if I get a bit. But this shit has pissed me off because I have a son. I got a teenage son. And the shit, he don't listen to that shit either. And I really think the Most High that he kind of listened to some of the things I said. Because I know as parents, our children don't always listen to what we say and take our guidance. But these young brothers are listening to this bull that they putting out here. Talking about, like, the young guy, what the hell is punk-ass dude name? Fly Young Red. This young Fly Red dude got this new song out called Throw That Boy Vagina. I'm going to say vagina for this time. Throw That Boy Vagina. Y'all know the other word, but it's that P-U-S-S-Y. He's a gay rapper, got song out now. Had so many damn hits on YouTube. This is the stuff they're listening to. And the song that they were rapping at the end, that came from Drake, the rapper Drake, or Blake, whatever this punk-ass dude name. This is the shit they rapping about. Listening to these guys and idolizing these people. See, family, y'all, as the parents, we gotta, like they told us, look at what y'all, your children are into. Study what your children are into. Don't come with that bull crap talking about, well, time have changed. Yeah, time have changed. The time have fucking changed. And also, your children going to change from you having your child to grow up to be a nice, decent male with a damn woman and having children to reproduce and spread your DNA, spread your seed so you can say, hey, so sisters, y'all can say, hey, I'm about to be a grandmama. I'm about to be a grandfather. You ain't going to be able to do that. You won't be able to have that damn those words come out of your mouth. If your son come home, this is my lover, mom. He got another man hugged up on his elbow. She has another woman hugged up on the elbow. Ain't no fucking reproducing like that. That's all against nature. It ain't got nothing to do with you because you being gay. You're going against fucking nature. We cannot reproduce as a damn nation of people if we going with everything that's like each other. You know what I'm saying? This is a sad fucking thing, man. 11, 12-year-old boys talking about sucking another band goddamn penis. Come on, man. That's a fucking sad tragedy there. I don't even know what too many more things to say. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, my bad.
No, go ahead, brother. This shit is killing me.
I just want to interject. In other words, it's to say that, oh, my DNA stops here.
Man.
This is where I die. I no longer live. I die at this point. No one's left to continue this family strand. Mm-hmm. No one's left. My child turned gay. So I die. My DNA just dies out. What does that do to my spirit? It decreases it. Decreases my spirit. Daddy. Killing off spirits. Go ahead, Sunray.
Yes, sir. Okay, let me see. Yeah, sister says she's working on a documentary already. Sister Renee Bass. Yeah, sister, peace to you. So she's working on a documentary which is entitled The Rise of Homosexuality in the Black Community. Hey, sister, preach to you. If you don't mind, if you have a website address or you have an email, because I would like to get a hold of that copy, that documentary, when you come out with that one. And actually, we would like to get you on the show and actually get you on here so we can talk about this a little bit further. So if you have an email address or website, you don't mind putting it in the chat room so we can reach out to you on that one. Because this is something that has to be talked about. Okay, thanks. Peace to you, sister. This is something that has to be people don't want to touch on stuff like this. And I know sometimes we say, well, we don't need to be talking about this. We need to talk about it. Like I said, we talk about our black nation. And we talk about destruction of the black civilization by Chancellor William. This is one part of your destruction of your black civilization right here. Because you're not going to have a goddamn generation or another nation or offspring in 20, 30 years if we keep on with shit like this. Because like I said, when our elders dying off, we're dying off, and our young people, man, are turning to each other, like male and male, who's going to be here to reproduce? Who's going to be able to carry on this seed like Brother Eric was talking about? Nobody. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen, Captain. Okay, we got a caller with all ones to get it in here, and then we got some more clips because Brother Eric got a outstanding clip. I really want to get into this clip. Oh, man, we got to get in there. And bring in all ones. Peace to you. Peace to you, caller. Peace to you.
How you doing?
All right.
I think you're criticizing the wrong people. That's just my opinion.
The wrong people like who?
Hold on, my computer's trying to make noise. I'm putting on mute. Yeah, of course, criticizing the wrong people, like in terms of the way things have turned out. I don't even focus on the gay thing. I do think that some of the homosexuality is being promoted, and I'm saying that's across the board. Even the white people are complaining about that. But in terms of the behavior, I'm like, you're not going to be able to curb the behavior. I'm saying as an older generation or the elders of a community without controlling the economic landscape of the community. And that's precisely what the previous generation does not control or did not control. And, you know, they spend a lot of their time focused on religion and spirituality and all that stuff that people can't eat off of. You know, people can't support a family off of your faith in God. They can't maintain the community with no tools and no resources. I heard you make the statement about, you know, your spirit is going to die or you're not passing on your seed. Passing on your seed to what? What the hell are any of these previous generations of black men passing on? They ain't passing on a goddamn thing. They got no businesses. They got no legacies. They got no wealth that they created during, their lifetime. So African-Americans at this point, or even black diaspora, they can't even defend themselves. I hear brothers running around talking about building black nations and whatnot, and I'm like, you don't even manufacture your own weapons to defend your own people against the incursion of other groups. And there's not one African-made or African-American-made handgun or a grenade launcher or a tank or anything like that to even defend if white people were to wake up tomorrow and say, hey, we're going to enact slavery and all y'all going to be slaves. I mean, we wouldn't even be able to put up the slightest fight. You know, so in terms of, the behavior, you know, a lot of people go out here and they try to make it a moral argument. They try to say the black juice problem is moral. Their problem is not moral. Their problem is economical. Their problem is not spiritual. Their problem is economical. And until black leadership focuses on that, it's just going to be more of the same. You cannot expect people who do not have resources to maintain not only themselves but their community to behave the same as other groups that have all the resources in the world to take care of their household, take care of their family, rebuild their community. Oh, there's a crack in the pavement. Oh, well, let's bring in the cement truck that costs money. And with the cement, that costs money. And with the skill set, that also costs money so that we can fix the crack in the pavement. But nobody focuses on that. Instead, people resort to spirituality, spookyism, Afrocentricity, and all other sorts of magical stuff that ain't going to do a goddamn thing for black people.
Now, brother, you spoke on leadership. Now, we did the first part on the black leadership. Now, we talk about fake leadership. So we talked about the Al's and all of these people who say the leadership. See, the people who we looking at for leaderships, They getting their economics, so they don't give a damn about you and your what you going through, your plight. They're getting paid, because we talked about who's funding Al Sharpton and all of this shit. We talked about that. So
why don't we look at them, Al. Why are you even looking for black leadership in that capacity in terms of there being the next Martin Luther King or the next Barack Obama or whatever? That's not where black leadership should come from. Black leadership should come from the black men in the community who are operating in the community. That's where black leadership should come from. Nobody should be looking to these, you know, these oligarchs, you know, to rain down and bless us with money and resources that are coming from the white community. That's not going to happen. What we need is we need to build economic foundations within the community, which, yes, unfortunately, at this point, would take some resources, you know, to be kickstarted from, you know, coming from the white community. But,
let me ask you this, because I'm not trying to be rude, but here's the thing. You must have you ever listened to this show before?
No, I have not.
Okay, well, you got to go into the archives. We did shows talking about the hell with black leadership. Lead your goddamn self. So we don't look to no goddamn leader. Not on this show, we don't. And the thing here we talking about, what does the gay agenda has to do with economics? That's one thing. Somebody even said that in the chat room. See, that's what we talk about. We talk about we talk about an issue. Let's stay on that issue. Let's focus on that. That has nothing to do with economics. It does see, but what they're doing, they're selling out. Now, what these rappers are doing, they might go with this agenda so they can keep their money flowing. Like some of these rappers, they putting on this dress because they so used to having this little money. So that's what I'm saying. We don't have to. Let's not focus on economics on this, because this is a whole different brand we talking about. So this is a whole different brand with that.
But I'm saying before I called the show, I was listening to about 15 minutes about what you were saying, and you brought up the spirituality, and you brought up the hip hop, which unfortunately is a derivative of the economic situation. When you listen to most of those rappers, they're talking about the glorified lifestyle that they exist, you know, in poverty. And that's what they're promoting, because that's the lifestyle. I mean, if you don't have money, you don't want to be defined by legitimate money. You don't have access to legitimate money. And you know, if you want to talk about the behavior, you're going to have to address the economics. There's no getting around that. Black people behave as they do. Everything distasteful that you don't like about black youth or black people or however they're behaving is a direct result of the fact that we don't have money and resources to sustain ourselves.
But homosexuality
been around before, man. Homosexuality been around. It's been a long time. So it has nothing to do primarily with economics.
It shouldn't even be a topic of discussion. It's not that big of a deal. The issue is that's what we talked about earlier.
People always say it's no big deal, but we got little young teenage boys on YouTube. Now all they run around here talking about sucking man dick, but that's all we talk about. It's no big deal. Hold 1 second, call. We're gonna put you on hold. We're gonna bring Reed right back. I'm bringing this other call. I wanna hold up. Hold out on the line. 816-816. Then hold your thoughts, brother. I'm gonna bring you right back. 816. Speech to you.
Yes. Hello.
All right. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. Doing fine, sister.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you for having this topic.
All right. Is this our sister, Renee Bad?
Yes, it is.
In the chat? Okay, bro. Honored to have you on. Peace to you, sister.
Thank you. Peace to you as well. Like I put in the chat room, but I'm working on a documentary on the rise of homosexuality in the black community. Excuse me, and also the emasculation of black men. And I was just seeing so many things, and I was just sick of it. And so probably about 3 months ago, I did my first YouTube video. I made a video talking about it, and then I did some other videos and put it up, and I went in. I'm telling you, so when you see it, you're going to be like, wow. And so then I was getting a lot of attention from people doing things. And I said, you know what, I'm going to do a documentary about this, because this is a big problem. And when the caller just said it's not that big of a deal, it's a huge deal. It's a huge deal. Because if we are not building life, then what are we doing? We're not going to, I think about, like, my niece. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't imagine when she's an adult, you know, what it's going to be like. And people don't understand that this is all a plot, a plan. You know, since we've been here, it's always been a war against us. But it's just that it changes form, you know, over time. It doesn't ever stop. It just changes the form. So right now the form is homosexuality. And by getting black men and black women to turn to each other in their gender, you don't have to worry about a lot of other things, because then it makes it keeps their hands clean, and it makes it look like, well, this is what these people want to do, when the whole time is being engineered. And a lot of people do not know that the black community has the largest percentage of LGBT than any other race, period. And people do not understand that this is something that kind of, it like desensitizes you. This is what they've been doing for a long time. You talk about children, you talk about a community with 80% single mother rape, where we have huge amounts of men, black men, in prison. So when you take the man out the home, okay, you have the mother there, she's trying to do everything. You have a complete imbalance. So you have a lot of young men who had no influence of masculinity. They pick up a lot of effeminacy from their mother, grandmother, aunts, sisters. And a lot of them, doing this research about this, a lot of them told me that they would have, they didn't have feelings for men, but they were effeminate. And so people began to say, ooh, you're gay, and you act like a F-word, and you act like a girl. And some of them just began to accept it and see what it was like, because that's what people told them. And, you know, there's this whole talk about, are people born gay? People are not born gay. There is no proof. There is no evidence. They could not find any evidence that this occurs. And if it was genetic, it would have been bred out a long time ago, as most people who have babies are heterosexual. So this is not anything born in. This is all manufactured. It's all put there for us. And, you know, we just got to wake up. There's too much going on.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I just doing the research on this, it's like it goes so deep. And I found out so many different things about all of this. And, like, for instance, the black men, if you are a gay black male and you have sex with a man by the time you're 18, then you are likely, most of them, will have HIV before they hit 30. This is real. They just came out with that in February. So a lot of people think this is a game. It's not that bad. No, it's bad. And people, you know, our community, we are reactors and not proactors. So we have a time now, a little bit of time, to try to do something about this. But it's a lot of black folk who don't want to pay attention to it. And then once it's just so bad where you can't deny it anymore, they're going to be the first ones talking about, oh, our race is going to be, where's all the babies, where's this person? They're going to be the main ones. But right now they're closing their eyes. So we have to wake up to what's going on with us. A homosexual black man is something that the powers that be like, because he's going to be easier to control, easier to manipulate. And I constantly tell people, the biggest thing, one of the biggest things that they are fearful of is a strong, intelligent, heterosexual black man, because then he's a threat on every level, okay? Because he can mess with their women. See, when they get you gay, you ain't going to be with their women, okay? You're going to already be less than a man, okay? They already know they can put you in a certain category. So this is, again, this is all by design.
Dang. Yeah. Hell, we could have me in the show with that one. That's, hey.
Wait, what's the video link? She didn't put the video link in.
Yeah, it's
I did.
In there.
It's so hard. I'll put it back up.
Is in that
area.
Well,
that's in there.
Oh,
yeah,
right,
I did, but I'll put it back.
I ain't in the chat. Goddamn, sis, can we do a show?
We sure can. And I want to
thank
you to the caller.
Yeah, let me bring the brother in because he probably want to respond. Let me bring the brother back in too.
Okay.
Your line is open. Your line is open, brother.
Yeah, I'm here. For the most part, I said a lot of what she said I agree with. Certain areas I don't agree with. And I don't know if we should necessarily dwell on that. I mean, like example, the idea that that people aren't born gay. We knew who the sweet boy was in kindergarten, and then he come out 18 years later talking about surprise.
That's projection.
That to me is somewhat of an issue. I do believe that it's being promoted across the board. I don't know about the idea that black people have more gay people in their community than any other community. I mean, San Francisco was the first big gay community, and that was established by white men. I think that the issue has been the fact that it's just like suicide in the African American community. It's not a talked about thing. Nobody talks about it. And homosexuality for a very long time was something in the African American community that was not talked about openly. And I think that what people are interpreting as this rise in homosexuality is just the simple fact that people are out there in the open with it. Just like other things where, like example, videos of the knockout game and stuff like that. I mean, things can be promoted, just like that. They can go viral. They can blow up. And I see that as a lot of what people are interpreting as this huge rise. Now where I agree with you is the influence of boys being raised in these single-parent homes and boys picking up tendencies from their mother or grandmother, and basically the idea that it's no longer beneficial to be a hyper-masculine male anymore. We have these issues in the African American community as it pertains to patriarchy. I hear women discussing that all the time, and I hear a lot of men basically throwing either talking about hopping the fence to other races of women or talking about not playing any sort of patriarchal role to begin with. So homosexuality is not our only issue, because whether a man is homosexual or whether a man is out here talking about what he's not going to do and the foundations that he's not going to lay and what he's not going to build and what he's not going to defend, you end up with the same result. I'm saying if I was white supremacy, I would be like, well, either way, it's the same result, and the end result is basically black males who are not going to challenge white supremacy.
Can I respond to you really quick before I forget a couple things? First of
My bad. Go ahead, sis. My bad.
First of all,
I
want to
get his ass.
But first of all, people don't realize that it is 100% normal up until the age of 12 to have same-sex likes. Unless that child has been molested. Same-sex like. You can like someone of the same gender, okay, up until the age of 12. That's completely normal, okay? Because unless the child has been molested or something like that, children don't sexualize friendship at that age, okay? Even if they like them, it's not the same thing. Until you hit puberty, until you hit that time coming into your sexuality, as a human being, that's when all of this comes on.
Let's start with the first piece. I'm saying the African American community, I've talked to a numerous number of women, and I'm saying, we have the same thing with another thing that the black people don't talk about, which is a lot of the molestation that goes on in the African American community. Not just against girls, but also against boys. And I tie that directly to the fact that we have a weakened or non-existent patriarchy in the black community, and men are not in the home. Because, when it comes to girls, You know, and no man who's, again, passing something on and laying down foundations is going to have some boy, you know, some, because typically these girls, these high school girls are getting molested by older guys in the community who graduated high school or didn't graduate high school and are just lingering around. And I'm saying the same thing.
Okay, let me touch on that.
Same thing happens with the boys.
Yes, absolutely. I have one of my best friends who was like my brother. He was molested, and he is, to this day, he's a Mac makeup artist, very gay. And he told me he felt like if that would have never happened to him, that he would not be gay today. But to touch on that, there was a study done by this group, the I'm Free Project, and they surveyed gay black men. And the two factors that most of them had in common was a lack of a father in the home or active in their life, and molestation.
And molestation.
So those are two major issues in the black community that also lead to all kinds of things. You can apply that to boys going into gangs. And actually right now it's a big thing of either boys, black boys are going thug or gay. And it's like they're both looking for the same thing.
The thug thing and the whole gang thing, you know, the vast majority of that is tied to the economic situation and the lack of money, because the gangs do provide, especially when you're talking about dope dealing and everything else, they do provide, you know, financial means.
But let me say something to you about the economic thing. That's what I wanted to say.
Okay,
you were saying that homosexuality is not a big deal. It's the economy thing. I don't agree with that at all. I mean, we've never really had economics in the black community, okay? Not on a mass scale at all. However, we had more morality going on. Right now, we don't. We lack that all the way around, okay? So there's a huge disconnect. You can still be poor and have morals, okay? Those two things don't compete.
Yeah, I hear people saying this all the time, okay? Actually, the black community was better off the closer you get towards slavery than we are right now.
Yes. I feel we should separate.
Black people moved out of the South into major cities in the East Coast, West Coast, for economic opportunity. Most people's grandfathers punched the clock, okay? Most people's grandfathers worked in, whether it was GM, Ford, a steel mill, or a rubber factory, a tire factory, or some type of factory.
Okay.
Every city in the Northeast, I mean, this is why they call it the Rust Belt. Pretty much every city in the Northeast, you know, had these type of manufacturing jobs. After the civil rights.
But how does this apply to gay?
What do you mean, how does it apply to gay? Unlike during segregation, you had thriving black towns. You had Tulsa, Oklahoma, Springfield, Illinois, Omaha, Nebraska, Rosewood, Florida. You had thriving black towns that had the economic there. The fathers were in the home because they were making money. I'm not saying that our situation was the same as white people. That's not what I'm saying. And please don't think that I'm saying that. I'm saying economically speaking, we were better off because we had to be, because you had basically Jim Crow and separate but equal and all that other stuff.
But what you're saying does not connect the morals.
When the decline of the family happened, okay, that's when the morals break down, okay? You cannot have a situation of morality when people are starving, because when people are starving, all they're thinking about is eating, okay? And what people constantly want to do is they want to turn the problems in the black community into a spiritual problem as opposed to an economic problem.
I can't rock with you on that, okay, because no matter what's going on, you can still have a level of morality. These people who are doing this right now, they are not starving. Hold on, let me finish. These people, this is targeting black children, black young people. This is not about them starving and not about that going on. Yes, we have all the economic problems, but that's not going to fix or address this homosexuality going on.
Here's where you and I differ, okay? Or we're missing each other, okay? If you want to talk about gangs, if you want to talk about the criminal activity, I'm saying you guys are like blending the two issues. I'm saying if you want to talk about those things, the behavior that comes out of chronic poverty, okay, I'm focusing on economics. If you want to, if you believe, which I don't believe.
The show, I'm focusing on what the show's about.
At some point, mm-hmm. if you believe that homosexuality is purely a moral issue, well, then I have to stand down, and I can't get into that. Because I'm not here to judge
you
whether
homosexuality is purely
moral or not moral issue. Huh?
You think it's purely moral?
No,
I'm saying
I'm not here to. I can't deny nor confirm that. So I'm not even going to get into it. I don't go into arguments and debates about stuff that I can't deny.
This is a problem. This is a problem because you represent a lot of people in the black community, and that is basically denial. That's what that is.
What your belief is that being homosexual is purely a spiritual concept. So if a boy is not touched
about
by
spiritual.
The hands,
I'm not even a religious person.
That's what
I said
saying.
Nothing
you're,
about spiritual. I said nothing about spiritual.
So you're going to say that morality and spirituality are not interconnected? As it's been promoted.
I'm not talking about spirituality. You can have morals and not be a Christian or any religion.
You can have morals.
You can be moral.
What are you going to say? There's no gay person can be moral. So I didn't say that.
Hold on, bro. Number one, bro. Ain't no need to raise your voice to the sister. You ain't got no control.
Oh, my God. Okay, Captain. All right.
Oh, you got to be gay.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Captain what, brother? Say that again.
Captain Sabre-ho.
Okay, go ahead, brother.
Go ahead, brother. You're definitely gay. Because only a gay man would say that about a woman.
Oh, I'm gay.
You just showed me.
I'm pointing out the flaws in your argument.
Yes,
hold on, brother.
Gay.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
You're trying to turn an argument to an argument of people who are gay or immoral or the cause of the homosexuality.
I'm talking about the show, honey.
What does that have to do with the biggest problem in the black community, which is the economics. They are talking about homosexuality.
Look at you, bro.
Go ahead and get his ass. I had to mute him, brother Eric. I had to mute him, but go ahead and get his ass because he did one motherfucking thing on this show. He said, Captain Sabre-ho, he disrespect his sister. Get his punk ass, Eric. Fuck you, brother. Get his
look
ass,
at you,
Eric.
Look at you, bro. I just spoke to you. You diverted what I said, and you went back talking to the sister. First of all, I already called you out about 5 minutes ago in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, if you was really about what we talking about, you wouldn't be coming with some kind of crescendo-ass disagreement with your statements and shit.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? It's like you sounding like you for this shit, but you against the shit. What the fuck are you
mm-hmm.
making a statement on based on what you saying, bro?
But see how he reacted, how he responded.
Point three, I pulled your panties down. I pulled them pink motherfuckers down about 5 minutes ago, partner. I pulled them bitches down for you. That's why when I told you I wanted your ass, and I put that in the chat room, I wanted your ass, and I said that to you, that got that little motherfucker wet, didn't it? Now I'm pulling them pink motherfuckers down for your ass. Okay? So you play with that shit while I keep on talking, goddammit.
Yeah, he
this coach is written right now. We don't play. And when we get on this mic, this is 100% real.
Yeah, he ain't gonna disrespect
and I can
no
tell
system.
Just by listening to how you talk what kind of individual you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's how deep I am in this shit. That's why your ass so goddamn quiet right now.
He hung up the line, brother.
I pulled your ace. I pulled your motherfucking joker, nigga. All your shit. You shouldn't have muted that motherfucker because I wasn't through. I wanted to hear from him.
But he messed up.
Because I told you I wanted it.
But he, yeah. But he probably still, I know he's still listening, but he messed up and said that one part when he said Captain Save-A-Ho, when he disrespected his sister.
That's how you, that's how you
sorry,
know
sister,
the gay one.
But
oh, no problem, no problem.
I apologize.
Because
but
see how he immediately went to, when I'm calling his card out, and I'm putting out facts out there. He didn't like that. So he's going to call me a hoe. Okay, but this is what gay men do. That's what they do. Because any heterosexual man would not have said that.
No.
From us having a conversation, and he didn't like what I'm saying, that's fine. But you calling me a hoe, you showed it all right there. You proved it in that point, because we have these gay black men now who cannot stand women. They hate women. They hate black women especially. And so they will be quick to call you any name they can, because they see you as competition. See, we have these gay black men now. They are in competition with black women for black men. This is what's happening in our community. And he's a prime example of that. He tried to bring out economics, but the title of the show is not that. So you see he's trying to switch that around because he has his own issues.
I don't play with brothers like that. I'm sorry, sis, but if you knew the culture freedom, this takes place every now and again.
Yes, sir. Hey, brother, we have our brother Solomon Sadiq online too. Peace to you, brother Solomon Sadiq. Peace to you.
Peace. The conversation was getting heavy, but I just want to say, and I ain't gonna stay long. That
yes, sir.
You know, I'm listening to Dr. Francis. Press Wilson, and the system of racism, white supremacy, if you don't understand that system, everything else that you think you know is only going to confuse you. But I think both of them got valid points, though. But in that system, that system of racism, white supremacy, caused mass confusion anyway when it comes to economics. Homosexuality is all just part of the agenda. But this is what I do want to say about the leadership.
But I didn't say he didn't have no point.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't say that.
I didn't hear the other part where he got off and started trying to bash the system.
I didn't say he didn't have no points. I ain't talking about that.
Okay. But I think the greatest thing for us as a people is, when I used to go down on the land, it used to be so beautiful, is that if we have all these problems and we are aware of all these problems going on, I think the best solution for us as a people is to really try to come from out that system and build something up like we used to have at Tom Array and kind of let go everything else. Because the conscious people, or the people that's aware, I like to say people that's aware, because there's a whole lot of fucked up conscious people.
Yes, sir.
We just need to come from out that system, though.
Mm-hmm.
But what, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but, I mean, the reality is, black people don't want to deal with this issue. They just don't.
Yeah.
And so there's going to be all this diversion, because they don't want to deal with this issue. Nobody wants to look at this issue. Not talking about economics, not talking about building this and that. We know we need to do all those things. We know we need that. And this is I'm not going to say this is our biggest issue, but I would say it's just as big as our big issues, because we're talking about projecting in the future. And if we're not, you know what I'm saying, if we're having this going on now, then the decrease is just going to keep happening. So if you have all these homosexual young black people, you're starting to cut the population in half or three-fourths. You're starting to get less and less and less over time.
That's
so
true.
We have to deal with this. I mean, we can say everything else, but giving somebody a job is not going to change the homosexual thing. This is inbred deep, and you can see how it's going after young black men. What are the three things young black men enjoy or get into? Hip-hop, basketball, football. All three of those things has been, you know, flooded with homosexuality lately. They are coming after young black men and women.
And that's why we played that clip with those teenagers on there rapping, saying it. And let me make this clear right fast. So if somebody thinking, we said we're not beating down on the gay community. We're not bashing nobody. Because here's the thing. Let me go back. See, at one point, we always, like the guy, the caller did say, we always had gays in our community. We did. Well, like when I was growing up, I didn't know nothing about no gay people. I didn't know nothing about that. Because my mom, like, I messed around one time and said, boy, dag. My mama damn near knocked my goddamn tongue out of my mouth. Don't let me ever hear you say that word no more. See, we couldn't even say the word gay or nothing like that.
Right.
We said the word gay. We were told the word gay mean happy. Because shit, you look it up in the dictionary, we'll say that. But here's the thing, point I'm making. So I used to watch Soul Train, and I never knew none of those guys were gay. Until now, I've got older and been exposed to talking about gays. Now I watch Soul Train and see them guys dancing like ballerinas, like ballet. I'm like, that motherfucker gay as a motherfucker. But see, when I was younger, we never knew about that stuff. But see, now it's being put all on television in front of us. You can't watch a program without men kissing on each other. And all of this is in our face now. So now as soon as we watch TV, we watching the show, dude gay. The first thing you want to say, he gay. It just automatic. But see, when we was younger, we've been having this. We had a lot of entertainers, our entertainers. Hell, we can name Jermaine Stewart. Shit, that's one of them. That thing, shit, what was it? We don't have to take our clothes off. We had a lot of entertainers back then with gay. But we didn't look at them like that.
Boy George, all of them.
We didn't even pay attention to it. I mean, they had it because they didn't throw it out in front of us. So what we're saying now is they are throwing this stuff out in front of us. It's like it's a new style now, new style of clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got to wear this now. I mean, if that's your style, that's what you want. That's what you want. But here, like I said again, you throwing something on. It's like, hey, this is what it is. They like they call Atlanta the new gay capital, the new gay mecca. See what I'm saying? It used to be the land at first, the land of opportunity for blacks. Now it's
absolutely
the new gay capital for blacks. See how they did that shit?
Yeah.
Go ahead, family.
But see,
y'all,
that's how it is. It's very sneaky. That's why with the fashion thing, getting these guys, these rappers, to wear dresses and skirts, because then it becomes about, quote-unquote, fashion and being in style. And then they don't pay attention to, this is feminine, y'all. What y'all are doing is feminine. But see, they get it into their mind, and then they feel like, oh, okay, I'm being in style like the rappers. Because we have to realize who the role models are for most of our black kids. They're looking to these people. So in all of those fields they're looking to, they see these homosexual black men, and they might think, oh, well, that ain't so bad. Or, oh, well, you know what I mean? It can implant ideas in a young person's mind, and that's dangerous.
Well, I got a question, but ain't that part of the agenda that they set out to do is to destroy the black male image?
Yes,
absolutely.
It is.
Absolutely.
Go back.
I don't know if it was the brother Sunray, but I heard him, you know, talking about Al Sharpton, and I may be getting off subject, and them setting, being down in Tama Ray and setting Doc up. But, you know, Doc was a strong black one out here. Marcus Garvey, Elijah Muhammad, it just seemed like when those black strong figures go down, there's not another strong black one to step up. See, they shouldn't even be able to identify us like that as one.
No.
Mm-hmm.
It ought to be another black men out here where if they try to angle one of us, it ought to be like multitudes of us. But me personally, I think that's just part of the agenda, you know, homosexuality thing and black males. And they're promoting it, and it just seemed like they're talking in us. But I saw the video about the young boys rapping a couple of days ago on YouTube, too. And, I mean, that's kind of a sad thing right now for us as black men, period, because, I mean, honestly, I don't really see nobody stepping up. I mean, the brothers like y'all, Sunray, and the other brothers, those who are aware, are stepping up. But other than that, there's really not enough push in our communities, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 brothers going after really educating our young black men about this situation that we're talking about now.
I try to let these young black gay men know, because I've had so many interactions because they didn't like the things I have to say. But I try to bring it back to slavery, too. And people, oh, slavery, I don't want to hear about that. That was back then. But we have to remember, when we were brought here, the women were not the only ones who were raped. We have to remember. They had buck breaking. So any of the masculine, you know, big black men, the ones who, if they had any type of resistance, okay, they would bring them out. They would get his son, put his son in the front row, his woman, his wife, and everybody else that wanted to be out there. And they would have several men hold him down, okay? And the owner would then sodomize him. And they did this to break his spirit, okay? So that you'll become more of a slave, because then you lose that manhood. It was taken from you, you know? And then there was they also used to dress black men up. They'll put them in dresses and skirts, wigs, makeup, different things, the women's attire of that day. And then they would do the same thing, sodomize them, or they would want them to have sex with them, you know, turn them out, basically, okay? And the sad part about it is today, black men are doing this to their own damn self. They screwing other men. They getting dressed like women. Same thing.
I agree. And that's true. That the mentality is still there. And that fear has been planted over a period of time, because someone has made reference to that we got the black males, the most black males in basketball, football, and other sports. Why aren't these so-called masculine males are not coming back to the community trying to uplift the other young black males in the community when they definitely got the finances to build the community up, and then the younger kids going to listen to them because they feel like they don't been somewhere. They don't made it to a degree. But I think it's the mentality, just like you said, when they was bucking them down, I think a lot of these pro athletes, when they get that money, psychologically, they brain switch. They're not to come back and help anybody in the community. And we just stuck with us, freedom fighters, really, just trying to raise the consciousness of the kids in the community. And right now, that may not be enough.
But see, black people think that when they get money, especially big money, that they transcend race, okay? Mm-hmm. They think they transcend being black because then they're more accepted in white culture because they're wealthy, or they're rich, rather, and have money. So that there's a whole disconnect with the black community. There's no reason someone like Dr. Dre should be giving $35 million to USC, okay, where these kids already have money going there, and it's something like 5% black. But see, this is what happens when we as black people have been taught to hate each other so much. So
absolutely,
the black men who need to be out here getting with these boys, a lot of them are locked up. I mean, where can we have the dad?
And let me say something, because I was building with one of my friends yesterday, and I think this is a common problem, and I think this is just part of the agenda, too, that young black males, male and female alike, go through 12 years of schooling in the so-called education system and learn nothing about economics, not even taking over the small convenience stores that all the Arabs and all the other motherfuckers own in our community besides us. Then we got to start on a small scale, and if that's the smallest scale we got to start on, then that ought to be most of our agendas, is at least take back the goddamn community stores, because none of us own them things. We go through 12 years of school and don't get the basics about taking over small things in our community, and that's really dumbing down to people.
But see, my fear is, for you guys on the host, my fear is that just like with drugs and I can name other things, just like you talked about the stores in the black neighborhood. We don't own any of that. I feel like I'm fearful that as black people, we're going to just let this continue on like we do everything else. We don't put an end to it. We don't step up. We don't say anything about it. Just like I said, people don't, black men specifically do not want to talk about this issue. And then you have black women, they don't want to talk about it either because it's so many of them that are lesbians. I mean, so many of my sisters, I'm like, what's going on? I mean, they are completely turned out. And it's not even, back in the day, people probably thought a lesbian was fat or ugly. These are beautiful women who wouldn't have a problem getting a man. But they are with other women and with kids.
Yes. Hey family, we don't mind. We're getting overtime. We thank everybody. We're going over. We finished with the live stream, but we still going over. We appreciate the dialogue. We still gonna go over. We go for another hour. Just want to play a clip here, and that'll help us go into some more things to build on everything that we're talking about. This is one part about Michael Savage, and it's a couple of minutes long. It's not that long. He's going into the gay agenda also. So it's not just from our perspective. So the other guy said that white people are talking about it. So let's hear some white people talking about it. This is Mike from Michael Savage Show.
Well, here's my position in clear terms. I don't think anyone can understand this unless they have children. I truly don't. I think that people who have not had children, raised children, can understand what we're talking about when we say we don't want our children brainwashed. Let me explain why. At age 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, when they're being brainwashed about the wonders of the gay lifestyle, children don't even understand sexuality. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
They don't know what sex is. You brainwash the child when they're 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 into thinking they might be gay. When the teachers start brainwashing them and say, well, you know, you might be gay. What does a kid know what that means? A kid who's 9 years old has no sexual drive at all, generally. So he hangs out with his friends, if he's a boy, with other friends. And they say, well, if you like the company of other boys, you might be gay. What they're doing is brainwashing boys into becoming gay and girls into becoming gay by telling them that. That's outrageous to put that in the children's heads. And you don't understand this until you have children, that you don't want your children to be taken upon by this movement that is brainwashing them, particularly when they're pre-sexual, with sexual ideas. This is a very important point. I wouldn't want the children to be taught about sexuality at all when they're 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9, for example, let alone homosexual choices. How can they make a choice when they don't even know what they are? So a kid who might be slightly effeminate, let's say a boy, for example, is not particularly macho. He doesn't like to play games. He doesn't like to run around in the football field. He likes more sensitive things in his life, and he's sort of effeminate in his voice. Does that mean he's gay? It doesn't mean he's gay at all. But if you start telling a child like that, well, you're probably gay because of the way you are, you take a wonderful person with a great genetic possibility and you castigate that person into the well of loneliness for the rest of his life. Moreover, you deny that the human gene pool of some very valuable DNA. And I want to keep repeating this. I have said this for 15 years, as long as I'm in the radio. One of the reasons America is suffering right now is because so many people who are gay have not had children. You heard me. That's exactly what I mean, and I want to repeat it. Some of the most wonderful genetic material is going to waste. And I will say that until you finally understand me. You know, in the past, if people had certain inclinations, they usually got married anyway owing to social pressure, and they usually had children anyway owing to social pressure, and they would practice their proclivities on the side. But because the set and the frame of our society has been so altered, where the criminal is now revered more than the cop, where the killer is more revered than the priest, people have come to think that being gay is actually superior to being heterosexual, and not having children is somehow a more advanced way to live. I don't want to go into the details of what I'm saying to you, but I think you get it in broad strokes. And I'll just repeat my main point, is that so many thousands, if not millions, of people who are openly practicing the gay lifestyle and who have condemned themselves to not have children and who have cut off their DNA from the human pool have so denied humanity in so many ways. And I want to say that until you finally understand it's a loss, in other words. It's a tragic loss to our society and to other societies. And for that reason alone, I would discourage so-called homosexual marriage. And I think I've made a very able point, and I think I made a point in a way that can be taken only in one way, which is a positive way. That's how I see this.
All right, family. All right. That was from the Michael Savage Show. Great point. Yes. I'm going to open you up. Savannah Black, bring you in, too, bro. Everybody, mic's back open. Everybody, mic's open.
All right. Peace, y'all.
I got no shit.
Uh-oh.
I don't got that one.
But, go ahead. Go ahead, brother. You probably don't know his mic open.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I feel him on that. You know what I'm saying? It's the gene pool that's being messed up. Anybody that has if you want your gene to die out, that's your business. You know what I'm saying? That's your business. You know what I'm saying? I can't dictate, but shit, do you realize that shit? Do you realize what the fuck you doing? You just doing this shit because it's a trend? Because you can't find a girlfriend? You know what I'm saying? They said they put additives and chemicals to enhance the estrogen in males, such as plastic bottles and things of that nature. Uh-huh. But we the black man, they've tried to kill us with everything, but can't kill that DNA. So it ain't. You know, they try to say it's food we eating. Yeah, food has a certain degree, but it's our decisions.
Mm-hmm.
People make decisions based on circumstances. And if that circumstance works out for me and I'm happy, fuck with the status quo. I got a roof over my head. I'm good in my understanding of good. You know what I'm saying? Everybody has a different understanding of success or happiness.
Right.
So we got to look at that too. You know what I'm saying? People are making choices, you know. I know it's a trend, and I know it's that's what they project, and it's like a new age religion to be gay. But people were gay back a long time ago. It took them this long for it to progress to this nature. I mean, what's next? Transgender? Robots after transgender? I mean, what's next? See, because they're taking our DNA and it's in a lab somewhere. You know what? You already got your DNA from birth. They got the original DNA. They got your original. And when you go in and get your blood test, you know what I'm saying? Oh, we got to test your blood. For what? I got a cold. Well, still got to test your blood. All that shit, you know what I'm saying?
But as far as that clip, that's like everything that I said. he said pretty much everything that I said, and I agree, you know, wholeheartedly. And I had asked this gay person, "What is the end game? because they're doing all of this gay rights and all of this stuff, which they have the same rights as everybody else. But what is the end game? And this one guy couldn't tell me, because I feel like the end game is not only to normalize homosexuality, but to overtake heterosexuality as being the norm.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize with the whole gay marriage thing, that is deadly. It's deadly, it's deadly. Because what happens is when your state passes that, then it becomes state mandated for the schools to begin teaching about homosexuality and gay parenting. They have books in the schools for elementary students. One is called King and King, and at the end of the book, the two kings kiss each other. One is, I can't think of the name, but it's two male penguins who found a baby egg penguin or whatever, and they raised it. And the other one is called, and this kills me, Daddy and His Roommate.
Damn.
And these are real books, real books. You can look them up. And they're having your children begin to read them, because what they want from the kids is they want gender neutrality. This is what they're pushing for them, gender neutrality. So it's as if anyone can change their gender at any time that you want to. That means you can have sex with anyone you want to, any, you know, gender. You know, this is what they want. They want all of this chaos when it comes to sexuality, because it's already a perverse way to live. And it is linked with pedophilia. And one thing I want to say, too, real quick, black people, black gay people especially, need to wake up. What's happening right now is all these gay people, these gay organizations, are using black people.
Yes.
They're using them and using us, because they're trying to make a comparison between civil rights movement and, quote-unquote, gay rights movement, okay? Now, they're saying, we want our civil rights, too. We want this, we want that. And these gay black people are permitting them to do this, and they're riding with them and promoting it. Now, this is a sexual choice, a sexual perversion that you want to participate in. But you want to compare that to my race? You want to compare that to my ancestors who went through hell? If you are gay, you don't have to tell people that. That's your choice to let people know you're gay. You can blend in if you want to with no issue. You can do whatever you want. But when you're black, you don't have that. You don't have that ability. So, you know, we need to wake up. And what happens is a lot of these gay black people, especially, well, men and women, but what they do is when they come out publicly, like they told their family and everything, and they come out as gay, a lot of times they will then align with gay rights before they will black rights. It's gay rights then that become more important. And this young gay black guy told me that he's about 19 or 20, and he told me that. He said, I identify more with the gay rights movement than I do with blacks. It's a loss. Yeah.
And I want to say, too, family, go back. Bobby Hemmett laid this out. He laid this out excellent, because we talked about the Boule also, and because the brother was talking about earlier, I like the brother you were talking about, why the athletes and people who get money don't come back to the black community. And when we started out talking about black leadership, we got to remember, too, now about the Boule. We can't lead their asses out. Go back and remember about the Boule and these so-called black power elitists that's in position. They under the leadership of the white, or so-called white leaderships, but they give little trinkets and toys to play with to keep you under control. But in that, Bobby Hemmett did a lecture. It's some part. It's on YouTube in pieces. It's called the Gay Black Boule. Go and look that up, Bobby Hemmett. Check that out, the Gay Black Boule by Bobby Hemmett. And he lays it out. He laid this thing out. And just what you said, sister, about how they're using the black community or whatever, these black leaders, Bobby Hemmett made an excellent point on it. And And I said, when I was young, I seen the Village People, but I didn't know that. I didn't think about them being gay. But here's what he made the point about that. The black guy of the Village People, and I came to find out, just one of my coworkers who was just talking about the Village People, and the guy, I forgot who he was married to, the black guy. It was some lady. She was a singer also, well-known lady. I can't think of her name to save my life. But and he was telling me, he said, man, you know she was married to the guy of the Village People. I was like, no, hell no. I said, the dude was gay, wasn't he? He said, no, he wasn't gay. And Josiah, when I went back to listen to Bobby Hemming on the Gay Black Boule, and he brought dude up, brought the top deck carpet. I was like, damn, that's what my coworker was talking about. And he said what they did was they picked dude to be, you know, the leader of this group and put, they didn't let him know it was going to be no gay now. They had anything with the gay agenda. They said they picked him to be the lead this group and put all of these gay dancers and stuff around him and gave him gay lyrics, gay songs to sing about, like YMCA and all of this. And then Bobby Hemming was saying that the YMCA was actually a place where gay men used to go and meet up, you know, to have sexual thing. And what was that? Macho Man. You look at it back in the days when the white boys were gay and all that, they dressed in what? Black leather tights and, I mean, black leather and all of this old stuff. Look at the dress with the Village People. And I was like, damn, that's cold. And he was saying that's why the guy actually, when he woke up and realized what was going on, he left the group. So like you said, they are using us. That's why we're seeing these rappers today and all these entertainers, just not rappers, because Samuel Jackson had on a skirt too. We're seeing a lot of these entertainers wearing these dresses. I think I seen even a basketball player. I couldn't picture who he was. My brother, Omar Sharif, he posted, I don't know who that guy was, kind of like Dwight Howard, but I'm not going to say that's who it was. But there's a lot of these celebrities now running around here with these skirts. I even seen Vin Diesel. Y'all supposed to used to like Vin Diesel? He had on a skirt, too. I seen him with one on. Puffy, no surprise. No surprise about Puffy. But they actually, like I said, they are using them because here's the thing. How many white guys have we seen that they are parading around with these skirts on? We ain't seeing that. They probably do it, but we're not seeing it. We're seeing our brothers because they know how to, and they using, every time it always uses, like they say, they use us as the scapegoat. Y'all know that old saying. Yeah. We're the American scapegoat. That's why they using Barack. Oh, goddamn. Brother Eric, we still got that clip too, Brother Eric. But we got to get this Barack thing in your head too.
They also use us to experiment.
10-4. My bad, I said 10-4 like I'm still at work riding on the goddamn truck.
they use us to experiment, and that's what these sports players and these rappers, that's what they're doing with them. Because they throwing the black gays out there first. So y'all go on, get out there, go. So then that makes the way easier for them to come behind that. Because you're taking some of the most masculine activities we have in this country, and you're now seeing these are gay men that play this sport. So if they can do it, then it makes it easier for all the white gay people behind them to come through and put out this image that they are just normal and they're okay.
That's right. That's right. Now, Fallon, we have a clip, too. We have another clip. It says it's about 15 minutes long, but it probably is. But this is something we need to hear, because we was on Talk Show. We did a show on Talk Show, and we were saying that a lot of this stuff is pushed out because we said Obama's helped pushing the gay agenda. And somebody said, why y'all saying Obama's helped pushing the gay agenda? Well, shit, he is. Y'all look at it, because even if it's under his administration, you know how they still blame Obama. They blame him for every fucking thing else. So we're going to say on Obama's administration. It's the gay agenda being pushed by him. Like the sister said, same-sex marriages, is they allowing that? I have a friend, she was telling me about, like, on their jobs. They allow, now when they change the insurance thing, packages, they allowing for same-sex marriages to be on each other's insurance. But when it came down to people just in a relationship, like say you got a boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever we call it nowadays, you couldn't do that. You couldn't put your significant other on your insurance. But they were, and if you're not married, I'm talking about unmarried, you couldn't do that. But if you were gay or, I mean, you're male or female, you're gay and lesbian, you can put them on your insurance. They were allowing that. So this is the slick shit they doing. So we're going to play this clip right here, y'all. Just listen to it. Now, y'all remember also, because she going to say the name Barry. That was, y'all remember saying when they first came out, Obama was running for election. A lot of people were saying that was his actual name. And you go back and they look up on his birth record. They said his name was Barry. So when y'all heard her talking about this, that's what she's talking about, Barack Obama. This is nothing we saying. So, hey, nobody, we don't want men in black knocking on our motherfucking door talking about we said this. But I don't give a fuck anyway, though. But we're going to play this clip, y'all. Let y'all hear this and we're going to get back and think about this one here, too. Right back.
One really good spouse is going to be married to this really horrific, sick person.
Mm-hmm.
So she's got to have a few trouble spots herself.
Okay, this is all really remarkable. You said somebody cut a deal for him somewhere along the line. Where do you think it might have happened? Now, his mother was there, and I think
yeah.
you saw her maybe one time, just very briefly. You never
yeah.
engaged her.
He didn't have any supervision, neither did any of us really. So
yeah.
to be fair, I didn't really see parents of everybody.
Any of your friends to speak of.
Yeah,
okay.
Because in the 70s, we just kind of ran wild. It was just that time
uh-huh.
where, the end part of the age of innocence or something where the parents thought, they could just cut us loose and we'd be all right.
Right.
But I'm going to say that I think I saw her. But I never really heard anything. It seemed to me like he had no parental engagement.
Uh-huh.
Like he was doing his own thing.
I think that's pretty obvious from what you've been telling
yeah.
us. There really couldn't
yeah.
have been. The grandmother...
I know his apartment building he lived in,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't have any interaction with the grandparents. And I don't recall ever seeing them.
She was an investment banker, I understand. Very talented woman. She knew.
Yeah.
She knew the whole story. Now... when he went out to visit her, right before she died, there were two stories.
About the maternal grandmother?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
There were two stories about the maternal grandmother. One that she had cancer. Another one that she had fallen and broken her hip, and that's why she was pretty much out of sight. He visited her at a time right before one of his big early victories, and
yeah.
she died very conveniently.
Yeah.
It's. I'm not saying that he was involved with that, but he did go out there, and she did die conveniently, and never
yeah.
stepped forward. She knew it all. She knew everything about the guy.
I would imagine so. It was really no secret. Like I said, homosexuality was raging right before AIDS. Cocaine was flying around.
Uh-huh.
It was avant-garde stuff. So. Barry, in my opinion, wasn't trying very hard. Now, remember, he compartmentalizes, so I think if he was on the campus of Punahou, he was keeping his cards close to his chest. But when he thought he was around people that couldn't affect him, because he knew we wouldn't be on, in the fall going to school with him,
right.
then, so she must have. But I will tell you, I'm not saying that Barry's had only three boyfriends that have mysteriously been murdered. I only have found three of them. And then, and certainly Barry's had more than three boyfriends. He was never nearly that chaste. But if you want to talk about people who have mysteriously been murdered and their unsolved crimes, and to this day the cases are still open, I have three of Barry's boyfriends' names if you want me to share them with you.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So one boyfriend, now these were all attendees of that Jeremiah Wright church in Chicago.
Yeah.
There was a formal, informal knowledge amongst the congregation that there was what they called the Down Low Club.
Down Low.
What the Down Low Club
yeah.
was is that were men who wanted to appear to be straight but wanted to still have the opportunity within a somewhat protected-like environment to hook up with other men. Now, one of the boyfriends that I have the most information on his name is Donald Young. He was murdered December 23rd, 2007, in his apartment, of which there were no signs of forced entry. So it appears that Donald had opened the door
to somebody he knew.
Murdered him.
Yeah.
Now, what was, I thought, a little striking was that he died of multiple gunshot wounds, basically to the base, you know, in his chest, you know. So it didn't look like hitman, you know what I mean? Like, because you can actually survive those kinds of injuries sometimes. So, you know, you think if
it wasn't a, it wasn't a high class professional job, in other words.
I would, it just didn't appear, because you figure if the guy, survives, you know, you're going to, after you shoot him, you want to get out of there. If the guy survives, you're not even going to know if he winds up living until it's too late and you can give some description.
I understand.
So, okay, so now we have the second victim, Nate Spencer. Just
Nate
like
Spencer.
It sounds. Yep. Nate Spencer. And then the third victim is Larry Bland. That's with a B.
Yeah, Larry Bland. Just so you know, Mia, I got to know Larry and was first to put Larry Sinclair on the radio. And Larry,
oh, I know.
Larry, we've done 30, 40 shows at least together, and we've covered this in great detail. He didn't get the connection. He didn't even hear about Donald Young's death until after the fact.
Right.
He
figured
it all out.
Yeah, me too. Only after the death that I started coming across that information.
Right.
And actually much later. And God bless you both for your efforts, because, you know, the more we shine the light on this stuff, the more, you know, that people are going to become empowered to, you know.
Larry's courage and bravery were just simply extraordinary. They are.
Absolutely.
They, the other side, in the highest levels of government, tried to drive him, and did in fact drive him, to the point where he attempted to commit suicide. And that's another story. I was involved with that too. He called me on the air just about this time one night, and I immediately emailed my support at the network on the board, and they played a rerun, and I talked to Larry. He could hardly speak. It was a very heartbreaking story. And I was able to keep him on the air, on the phone, for 37 minutes. I remember looking at the clock. And it turns out that the local police could not find him. He was in a hotel somewhere. He had made a video and uploaded it. No one could find him. And
right.
He had taken, what he complained about was a time-release narcotic. He said, that's all I could find. If I had been able to get the other kind, I wouldn't be talking to you. But he called to thank me and say some very nice things, and I'd never been confronted with anything like this in my life. I kept him on the phone, and it turns out that the Secret Service got involved in the last 5 minutes and were able to successfully ping his cell phone while he was still talking to me, and got to him literally, apparently, with a couple of minutes to spare. That was it. And they got him out of there, pumped him, and stabilized him, although he would have been gone. That's how close it was. But that's what happens when the big boys begin to put the pressure on, and they pressured him, and they beat him up verbally and on the internet like nothing I've ever seen before.
Yeah.
Sued him for $30 million, and so on. And well, you know the story. Okay,
I sure do. And you know, I expect some significant flack myself. And here's what I got to say: kiss my butt, because I am not backing down off of this. I've not misrepresented anything, and I already made some heavy decisions. Before I ever took the step, I got my spiritual life in order.
Mm-hmm.
I took stock of, you know, we all have an expiration date, okay? And I'm concerned about what type of life, you know, can I say that I led? But, you know, knowing what I know, I just felt sick to my stomach sitting there holding this information. And there's so many fellow Americans that are, you know, they're hurting, they're frustrated, they're losing their homes, they're busted down to part-time from Obamacare, and, you know, we're getting steamrolled by these super freaks, and I just got to that point where nobody, and I don't care what you call these big boys, nobody is going to take my conviction from me. I don't fear it. You could put your best investigators on me, go over me with a fine-tooth comb, have at it. And as far as taking threats and whatever, like I say, kiss my butt. I'm not going to stop.
Well, I can tell you right now they're listening to this program right
Good.
Now. And I think they heard you loud and clear.
Good.
It would be wonderful if more would come forward. And
yeah.
Not that you need any corroboration as far as I'm concerned, because I've heard enough about this man for a long time. And I'm glad that you've finally been the one to come forward, and maybe people will follow. Let's hope so. So, and I know there'll be people listening who were involved with Barry back then. Maybe not tonight, but they will hear the program. They watch your video with Dr.
Right.
Manning. This is a big, big story. We've got about 6 minutes left. What else do you want to tell us about Barry Satoro that we need to know that I haven't gotten to?
Yeah, let's see. Well, we covered everything. I keep an eye out for the darkening of the lips because I have not seen any evidence that Barry's been through some type of recovery or rehab. You're talking about a guy with a significant cocaine habit, and you're not going to drop a habit like that, like you're cutting down on a few calories.
Okay, let me ask
all
you a question.
Done,
the word is that he spends most of his free time in an office above the Oval Office or up on the next floor, watching a big screen TV, smoking, perhaps doing his drugs. You wouldn't be surprised at all if he was doing cocaine up there every day.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like I say, he's convenient. He wears a sign for you. And if they try to put makeup on him, look closely. I mean, we know when his lips move, he's lying. But, I mean, look at the color of his lips.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be times when they get literally, like all, not just the lip, but right just to the outside of the periphery of the lips.
Uh-huh.
And it's because that cocaine is a vasoconstrictor. It constricts the blood flow. So
right.
He gets that purpley look.
Understand.
You know, and isn't that a shame that we got to flick on the TV and say, oh, what color are Barry's lips today?
Unbelievable.
But, you know,
it really is.
Yeah,
no.
That's what we need in the White House. He should be on Jerry Springer's show, not in the White House. So,
well said. Here's another one. The idea of his homosexuality has not been a real big secret. Reggie Love, the picture of Reggie and he walking down the beach several months ago with Barry looking at him like a smitten 16-year-old girl.
Right.
It was rather blatant.
Right. That's what I hope to convey to your listening audience, that if you were to see Barry in action, it would be so clear to just anyone who observes, okay? And I hope I'm putting it in words that I can draw a picture for you. Another thing just to put in, I know we're pinched for time, but Barry is not really an intellectual. I'm not saying he's like the dullest tool in the shed, but if you ever listen to him talk without a teleprompter,
I
promise you, it's telling. Yeah. So this guy, don't even think that he's some brainiac either, because he's really not. You know, at least that has never been my impression, and I've had an opportunity to be around people who've been real strong intellectuals.
They've trained him to speak very well. He does his job. He uses NLP. He's got a cadence that is mesmerizing to people. They can listen to him for 20 minutes, and if you ask him what he said, no one can tell you. I don't know what the hell he said.
Exactly.
It's a strange way.
When his teleprompter goes down, he starts going, I mean, he can't. Remember, he has notes on his lectern, so if he's all that bright, he should be able to carry on in some sort of a fashion.
Yep.
This guy can't even string three or four words together if that teleprompter goes down.
He can't fill, as they say. It doesn't work.
Oh, all right, friend. All right, we want to get back into it. We want to get back into it now. We only got less than 20-some minutes left. So with the thing about, we just want to play. We were trying to get into a brother. Air your mic back open now. Who else was in here? Mic open. And the sister, your mic open. We were just trying to get in here, just get into part of that play where they was talking about Barack Obama's. Uh-oh, damn, I said his name, y'all. My bad. She said Barry, so I'm going to say Barry. Barry's gay love affairs and his gay lovers coming up, be finding them dead. So if that's true, and if it actually been also, there were rumors been put out that this dude named Barry, y'all know who I'm talking about, wink, wink, was supposed to have been said in Chicago visiting these so-called gay bath houses in Chicago, along with, what's his name, Rahm Emanuel, the little fuck up in New York, I mean Chicago, Rahm Emanuel. So, hey, is this why this gay agenda, this guy is so adamant about pushing this gay rights shit, gay marriage, gay, what's this shit, insurance and gay stuff? Now, y'all know What straight man fights so hard? Like that damn caller was online earlier. What gay man fights so hard? I mean, what straight man fights so hard about gay rights? Unless he's like Al Sharpton.
Right.
He's getting, they paying him off to do this. That may be the case. I don't know.
Yeah, he was mad. He was mad because he's going to say, I can't say it is or isn't. Oh, come on. You're gay.
Yeah. That was slick how he did it. He came in and said, we looking at it. And, well, we blaming the wrong people, first of all.
Yes.
And then we asked him, well, what people? He started getting on economics. That, you know, it's like you said, they do that. You caught that, so it's real good.
Mm-hmm.
What does economics have to do with that? That's what they try. They always find that way to slither their goddamn way out of it. Well, talk about the issue. Mm-hmm.
And y'all be careful with that too, with these gay people, because this is what they do. When a lot of them want to divert your attention, they'll bring up something else. Say, for instance, and then people will, the first thing they'll try to do, that's why I got him on that too, is he start trying to talk about spirituality. I didn't say anything about that. I said nothing about spirituality. I said nothing about religion. They will try to press that to say, oh, well, you're thinking like that because of the Bible, and then they'll go into trying to discredit the Bible and everything else. No, I'm not even a religious person. I believe in God, but other than that, I said nothing about religion to you. So they'll try to do religion. They'll try to, you know, bring up something else.
Yeah.
And then another one, this is what the gay people who do the gay rights and gay marriage and all that, they will say love. They will say, why can't two people in love get married? That's a buzzword because it incites, elicits an emotional response. Okay, because when you hear love and you think of love, you think of positive things. It gives a positive feeling. So that's what they do. And then in turn, a lot of people who are not with it will then be like, well, they're in love. Go ahead and I'm going to vote for them to get married. You know, this is what people do. And so it takes away the attention from the real issue.
Good one. It takes those sisters. You know, I'm looking at your YouTube page. You know what? I've actually looked at some of your videos. I'm looking at it. I've actually read it because I seen that a name just rung a bell. Like, know that.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually saved the page, though. Make sure I saved it and subscribe to it. Yeah,
okay.
But, I mean, and like you said, we knew it because every time you bring up anything that's real important to us as a so-called, black people, man, we want to run from it. I mean, we want to run from it. Just like we tried to have shows talking about men issues, about us being in a home as fathers. We want to talk about every other thing except that. We don't want to talk about that, us having men. Like Farrakhan used to be back in the days. He had men-only meetings where he had all men just gathering up, you know, have meetings with men. See, we want to talk about, we don't have shit like that. When we do, and we talk about our issues, what we having as men in the household, what we going to start doing? We're going to start finding a way to blame the black woman. Well, it's her,
exactly.
Man. If it wasn't for her, you know, trying to do this, trying to tell me, I'm a goddamn man. She don't tell me what the fuck to do. No, we ain't talking about her. We talking about us. Okay, what the hell can we do? Okay.
Right.
See, the sister's going to have to handle that on that end. They got to have all sisters meet. Kind of their problem.
Okay.
We ain't talking about them. We need to talk about what we doing. And then we can come together and say, okay, look, we sat down as men. We wrote down our problems. Y'all wrote down y'all problems. Now, let's get together. How can we work this thing out? Let's see that.
Right.
But we don't want to do that. We run from that. And just like we're talking about this issue right here, we run from it. We want to talk about economics. Shit, we know that. Let's talk about that at the next meeting. But tonight's meeting ain't about that. That's what we do.
What we do. And that's exactly what he did. And that's exactly what a lot of black men do when I talk to them about this issue, you know, talking in the group and different things. They always find some way to take the spotlight off of the issue of homosexuality and put it on something else. And that's why I say black people are reactors and not proactors. Because right now, we should have already been dealing with this. But right now, we need to deal with this. Ain't no economic thing going to take care of this like this. We need those things. Absolutely. We need those things badly.
Yeah.
But we also need to get some type of morality in check. We also need to realize what's being done to us and that we want a future for the black community. That's what we need to focus on. And you have things on TV now, like, have y'all, I'm sure you've probably seen that show, Fashion Queens.
No, I try not to even watch television, but I might have heard it. Somebody might have mentioned it. Fashion Queens.
Do you remember the skit from Living Color where they would be like two snaps up?
Yeah, Antoine and I can't think. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes. That has come to life.
Oh,
no. It is that exact same thing. Look it up. You will
they don't
see
have
the exact same thing. It's two gay black men.
Oh, shit.
And they have on blouses and dresses. They have red lipstick on. They have eyeshadow on different things. They have on, they always wear major platforms and stilettos. And, yes, they do.
Wait a minute.
A black woman who hosts
it. It wouldn't be those two guys from Atlanta Housewives, is it Derrick and...
Uh-huh.
I have heard about it. Yep. God, to be more careful. Yep. I've heard about them, too. God, to be more... And that other fool used to be with Tyra Banks, Miss J something.
They out-femaled the female.
That's why these guys hate on the black woman, because they're too busy trying to be the damn black woman.
Yes.
Shit.
Yes.
This. Oh, and then we were talking about something else. And I was interested earlier. Now, when you see Gucci Mane, you remember the rapper Gucci Mane, right?
Uh-huh.
When you see him, he's supposed to be what? What do you think? What are you when you see him on his app? What is he supposed to be to you, like?
Crazy, but I guess like a gangster. Or
there you
something.
Go. Yeah, that's the what gangster. So when a lot of these young guys see him, he's supposed to be his image. He was gangster, big dope boy, and this and that. Who rapping still? So when they hear his music, he rapped because he had a song out. And I can't stand none of that stuff, but I still have to keep up with it to talk to people. I think he had a song out, a CD long time ago called Trap House or something like that. I can't remember that bull crap. I think it was talking about the crack house, and they be talking about the dope game. Now, you know, you probably seen this. That video, that picture, well, not a video, but it was a picture hit Facebook last week or something, where he got on lipstick and the stuff that the women put under their eyes with his eyeshadow. Did you see
that? Really?
Yeah, I can't.
I'm looking it up right now.
What's the stuff under the eye, under your, the ladies they put under their eyes?
Eyeliner.
Not the black one, but the color, the different color.
Mascara.
It's like
or eyeliner.
Now I remember the
eyeliner
is,
or eyeshadow.
It might be like the shadow. It goes under the eyebrow and between your eye, like when you close your eyes, there's part of your eyes there. I can't.
Yeah, that's eyeliner.
Yeah, the fool had on lipstick and that, and it was like blue under his eyes.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and it was on Facebook. Yeah, and he was showing all of his jewelry. I think he had on fingernail polish. I can't remember. But yeah, they had him on there. He got it on there.
Wow.
So you think about the gay, he was gay hardcore. Thug, so all the guys follow, hey, man, Gucci Mane thugged out. And now, like you said, image. And they see him doing it. Now what do you think that would happen?
Yeah. And these guys don't have no dad in the home to say, boy, you better not do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come here, let me talk to you or try to get them together. The dads aren't even there. So you
not
have
that.
A lot of black mothers now who are facilitating this behavior.
Yeah.
And they'll go shopping with their son. They'll go to the nail salon, you know, hair salon or whatever with their sons.
Yeah, that's true. And just when we talking about that, you seen that dance called a Nae Nae, didn't you?
Yes.
that new dance. And it was a guy, he was telling me about the dance. I mean, well, I was telling him about it. And he's like, yeah, my son know how to do that dance. I said, he what? He said, yeah, my youngest son. I said, well, I'm going to tell you something, brother. You need to go check that. Look on YouTube and look at the official video for that that video. Look at the official video. And later on, I asked him, hey, did you see it? Nah, I didn't look it up. I ain't look it up. I said, well, come on, bro. Mm-hmm. Look it up. You see, that's what I said. You tell people. I said, man, because the guys who put it out are actually gay themselves. I said, you got to watch what they promote. Right. Asked them, wait, time later. Still never looked at it. I'm just like, see, that's our damn problem. Is the people. See, people tell you to go check out something. They're telling you what's going on, and you still do not go and look at it. So it's like, you say, I don't want my son doing it, but you still don't go and look at it, it's like really that you just don't give a damn. He's not concerned. So your son come home and tell you he got a boyfriend, don't say shit. Don't say shit.
Exactly. Don't say somebody, a thing.
Somebody tried to warn you. Yeah. Yep. So that's. Yeah. Have you ever seen the official video? Official video on that.
The official video. The name.
The yeah yeah.
No, I just seen the dance itself.
Yeah, you look at the official video. Them guys that's on there, you can see it. One guy has the hair like in the braids, like man, just like the women hairstyle. I was like, and I see the way they do their hands and they snap, and I'm like, man, them some feminine sons. I said, see there, they got ass right there. Go ahead.
This hurts as a black woman. You know, to see black men turned out like this.
I can imagine.
I mean, they just turned out, you know, and they getting them younger and younger. And that's exactly what they want to do.
Yeah. And when you sister say, I can't find a good black man, you sure right. Mm-hmm. You most definitely right now.
Absolutely. You know, people, and then people get in this thing of, well, what's wrong with it? What's right with it? And like I tell people, think of homosexuality as a tree. What is the fruit being produced? Is the fruit healthy or unhealthy?
Yeah.
It's unhealthy. I mean, what comes from that lifestyle?
Mm-hmm.
Death and destruction, suicide, you know, the thing is people don't understand, and then they want it to make HIV like it's not a gay disease. Well, yes, heterosexuals can get it too, but gays being less than 10% of the population make up over 70% of HIV cases every year. And, you know, not only that, they did studies where heterosexual men and women were, they did some kind of test, and then they had gay men, and where they were with the same number of partners, unprotected, they did it some kind of way, and the gay people ended up getting the viruses, and not the heterosexuals. And, you know, the thing is, they will try to divert your attention, but see, I always bring it to the sex, too. And they do not want you to talk about sex. They do not. Because when you shine a light on that, they don't want to deal with it. Because at the end of the day, you are putting your penis, I'm sorry, into another man's bowels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they have, they told me, some of the gay ones I talked to said it's called painting. When you get a man's feces on your penis.
Okay.
It's called painting. And they use enemas. They use, it's a certain type of anal dush. It's going to be on my new video. I'm going to try to put it out tonight. But this is what they use. And they claim they do this every time before you have sex. But no, you're not. No, the hell you're not.
Damn.
As freaks as some of y'all are, you just don't went to the bathroom and letting that man do that, and he gonna do it.
Yeah.
This is what they doing, and I said, well, what do y'all do about it? I mean, what do y'all do? And then they gonna say, well, it's between the two people, and they deal with it. So you have men now who are accepting getting another man's feces on their penis. And they're finding this erotic. They're finding this a way to live in a lifestyle, to be laying up under another grown, musty man, hairy man, okay? And this is what they want for their life. And they want you to believe that this is acceptable. They hate black women. They want women out the way. Because, see, they want to be able to sleep with any man they want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why a lot of them hang around with straight black women or straight women, period, because then they will get around heterosexual men. And see, a lot of them, their thrill is to be able to turn out a straight man.
Yeah.
To be able to have sex with this girl's boyfriend. See, they like that, and that's what they want to try to get to do.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you're bringing that up, sister. I'm glad you're teaching them that.
It's very, you know, it's very tricky. And these silly little young black girls, and I get inboxes from them all the time talking about, you don't know what you're talking about. And it's my friend is gay, and ain't nothing wrong with him. But and I'm like, you silly little girl, be quiet. You don't even know what you're talking about right now.
Yep. As soon as her boyfriend or whatever, just, hey, she gone one night and dude mess around and a gay friend come through. Oh, It might go down. He might get that little curiosity. Yep, she get that little curiosity, and, it might go down. Because first thing, like I said, some of the guys used to say back in the day, the one who getting his, you know, penis sucked, he's not the one that's gay, but the one who's sucking, that's the one gay. See, that little silly little game. Say, hey, it can go down like that. And that's what,
that's
like,
cool.
I'm glad you're breaking it at, as a sister. I'm glad you're mentioning that because, like I said, that's why our sisters have to, and I just blame the sisters, but that's why our sisters really have to stop that. Just thinking that's so hilarious, so funny, because he's gay. He's talking about, girl, this and that. Stop that. Stop that fool from doing that. Because, see, like you said, you're talking about, this is my gay friend. See, y'all are signing on to this dude doing what he doing. They're signing on to it.
And I said that in my video, because they have this guy, called Funky Dineva. They have several other black guys on YouTube and on different things. And their whole bit is to put on wigs, okay, and put on women's clothes and act like they're a black woman, over-exaggerated, and doing all this stuff. And girl, and all this stuff. And it's this guy, Funky Dineva, and he's got a full beard, okay, mustache, beard, everything. But he puts on different wigs for different shows. And he'll have on big old red lipstick or something. And he'll have on, you know, a dress or women's attire and necklaces, a purse. And so he'll sit up there and he does reviews of the Housewives show, Loving Hip Hop and all that, Basketball Wives. And up and down his page, mostly, it's some gay men on there, but it's mostly black women. And I left a message. I said, y'all are some fools. I said, black women, my sister, why are y'all watching this? Why are y'all contributing to this? Do you not know this man is making fun of you?
Yep, sure do. I think I'm actually looking at him on your page. Yeah, you're right. I think I'm looking at him on your page like he got on some grush color or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at him now. I got it on there. I ain't looking at the video. I just see him on there. And I like that one video. I like this video. You got the title, The Black Woman or the New Black Man. Ooh. That's a cold.
Yeah.
The Black Woman. The Black Women are the New Black Man. That's what I meant. Y'all got to check this sister YouTube clip, YouTube page out. Miss Legit. Well, you can say it, sister. You can say it better than I can. Introduce your YouTube page.
Mrs. Legit, MRSLEGIT 816, the numbers, and it's all one word. Mrs. Legit 816.
Yes, yes. Let me see. And I'm subscribing to it as we speak. Yes. Man, that's it. And that's good, sister. You're doing this. Like I said, we most definitely, you know, we're happy to have. We're going to link up with you. I got the YouTube page. We're going to send you an email.
Okay.
Well, I send you email in the private chat, but actually you can hit us up still at culturefreedom culturefreedom.org@gmail.com, culturefreedom.org@gmail.com. We most definitely want to get you back on the show, sister, man, and then just have a show on this. We can get together and just do a whole dialogue more. You know, have you get you come in and present. So we can bring some of your clips and play them on here too. And you say you have your documentary going to be up probably by tonight or something?
No, I was going to have another video up by tonight. But I'm going to Atlanta at the end of this summer to shoot for this documentary. So I'm hoping to get it out in the fall time.
Okay, yeah, we will have you on it, invite you on to come on and present your documentary, talk about it on here and get it, help you get it out there and promote it out there. They actually shut our website down right now, so we usually could, I see one of some guys, like three guys standing on feminists with purple on and rainbow colors. I think I actually shared some of your videos on our website, but they they don't shut our website down right now. They don't froze our website. They always saying we putting up something controversial, so they'll shut our site down. Yeah, yeah. And let us know we on the right track, though. That's all that is.
Exactly,
so,
yeah.
When I get this up and running, yeah, we're going to most definitely keep them on your videos on there. But I know as one in particular I see now that we did put that on there. Yeah, you're doing a great job, sister. Yeah, we're doing a great job. And we're going to help you put this out and keep on, like I said, because this is true. Like I said, hey, it could be my son. It could be my daughter.
Yep.
You know, just falling on this. No matter what so-called mores or whatever emphasis I put on them. And it's like I heard the elders used to say this. And sometimes we don't get that good wisdom too much from our elders. And a lot of we do, we don't even listen to it. But it was some elders used to say this, that a lot of, and people like to say, well, he ain't got no home training. They ain't got no home training. Well, a lot of times you do have the home training. Your mother and father can teach you, give you all the home training there is, but they say a thing like this. Society has more of an influence than your child than you do. Not in all cases, but a lot of cases it does. It means society, the television, the radio, the music they're listening to, the people they listen to at school, just a lot of places. Society will have sometimes they will have more influence on your child than you.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times family is not mother's, it's your fault. Don't get mad. I did all I can do, but he or she still did this, because I know my mother tried to instill in me the best value she could, but I still went out and did wrong. And so now when I've got to be an adult, I had to go back and I thank her, and I had to tell Mama I apologize to you. But she said, well, you know, hey, but we realize too, we are still individuals. We are still human individuals. We still got to make our own decision and do whatever we want to do as an individual. I can tell my son, I don't want you smoking, I don't want you drinking, and he'll turn around and do just that.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, he's an individual. I can't do nothing about
it.
But that's what's that. Yeah, we got a couple of minutes, sister, that might hang us out. We just talked to them hanging out. You can go ahead, sister. Oh, got any more information, like email address, anything, or another website you want to put out so I can reach you?
I'm on Facebook, too, at Renee Bass. And as far as my email, it's rbass@hotmail.com.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, cause I just hit you on the Facebook too.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll just hit you up on that. Look you up on that too. Yeah. Cause it's, and that's good that you came in, sister, you know, with that information tonight. And it just went like.
I had to handle him real quick.
Yeah, and that was good. And see, that was powerful. And I liked that because it was just seemed like it was just brothers speaking, saying it, because like, you know, we would have been going at it with the cat. That ain't gonna lie.
Right.
We would have been going. It was good that you came in from another, as a, from that female perspective.